will look to close out on a high note beginning this Saturday when they host the South Carolina Gamecocks at Ben Hill Griffin with a kickoff at 7 o'clock. It's a big SEC matchup in primetime, and it's only on Power Talk 1200 WPTK.
Fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told?
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hello, liberal Democrats everywhere. You are listening to the Guy James Show, coming to you from the sandy beaches and blue water of gorgeous, and I do mean gorgeous, Fort Myers, Florida. How are you today? It's a beautiful day here, about 83, 84 degrees, sun shining, and just plain beautiful. No place like Florida in the fall, let me tell you. Lived up north for all of my life, except the past few years, and leaves turning and all that, that's nice, and frost on the pumpkin and all that, but let me tell you, in November, when it's 83 or 84 and dry outside and sunny, kind of hard to beat. But I guess I shouldn't talk about that, or everybody will be moving down here as if they hadn't already. We do brag about it around here. A lot of folks that live here, we think it's paradise, and I know a lot of you do, too. You come and visit. Hey, how you been this week? Are you getting better? Are you recovering? Are you? I know some of you are, and some of you are still really angry. I don't know if I'm still really angry. I'm still very, very disappointed after that election. And we've got a lot of things we want to talk about today concerning the election, and we'll get to it in due time. As we posted on our... And by the way, I want to say hello to all of our friends on DemocraticUnderground.com today. Good to have you folks along with us, the folks at Democrats.com, and Smirking Chimp, and Buzz Flash, and all the people around the Internet. Good to have all of you along. Lots of talk still going on the Internet about the election fraud fixed. You know it. You name it. What do you think? I want to hear your ideas on it today. I said last week, and let me just get into this just a minute or two, and we'll talk about it throughout the program today, I'm sure. But I said last week that I'm waiting until I can get some ironclad, irrefutable proof in my hands. And I have to tell you that after looking at a myriad of issues on this election, I have yet to see any ironclad proof that you could take to any court in the land and prove your case beyond a reasonable doubt. I go along with everybody. It looks bad. There's some things that look real bad. Have we traced it back to where we could prove somebody did it yet, or somebody did do it? No. I haven't seen any ironclad proof, and you know me, I want to have that smoking gun in my hand before I go any further with it. So I'd be interested to hear your ideas on it today. You can call us, you know, at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504, here locally, 479-5540 in Lee County, and 263-6570 in Collier County for our friends down in the southern area there, down around Naples and Marco Island, a beautiful area down there as well. You know, I spent part of this week in Washington, D.C. Was there on some radio business. They're exploring some possible opportunities, and we had an interesting time. And I was just telling somebody a minute ago, I had breakfast at the Mayflower Hotel yesterday morning, and as many of you know, I was giving it to Grover Norquist on this program last week, and What do you know? I looked up from my table where we were sitting there in the Mayflower at breakfast, and there sat Grover in the next table. So it's funny the way things go. I guess that's kind of the who's who. Yeah, what was I doing there? But it's kind of the who's who in Washington, and I do love Washington. I'd gladly live there. I really would. It's an exciting town. So much going on. Multicultural. You know, it's the nerve center of the world. It really is. And it's just great to go there. It really is. There's so much. And a little later on in the program, I'll tell you about a discussion I had last night. I couldn't sleep. And so went out for some coffee with... ended up talking to some people from other countries, and that was most interesting. You know, I wanted to just very briefly before I get to the phones, and again, it's 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04 for our toll-free numbers. As you might have imagined, if you listened to last week's show, I've been flooded with email from outraged right-wingers who really took issue with my statement there that there were 59 million stupid Americans who voted for Bush. And so I thought I'd just take a minute and clear that up. After seeing what happened on November 2nd, the word stupid and Republicans seems to me are synonymous. I mean, how could 59 million people not recognize the fact that Bush and moral values is an oxymoron? And I'm not going to accuse Bush of being stupid as the people who voted for him. Quite the contrary. He and his gang managed to convince 59 million people that he's the risen Christ, the world's savior from terror, the Prince of Peace who defends our nation from those terrible gay people who, according to the Republicans and the evangelical Christians, are ruining the fabric of our society. But, you know, I have to laugh every time I think of that. I guess in a way it's not funny, but I can see it now. Huge armies, the way the evangelicals look at it, huge armies of gay people with AK-47s wearing very stylish uniforms, taking over the government. Yeah, that's going to happen, all right. Oh, be afraid. I'm very, very afraid. And, you know, so they're talking about Bush and his moral values. He's got moral values, really? I asked a guy that last week. He said, well, he goes to church and he prays. Oh, okay. I've heard he does attend church occasionally, and he says he prays. But doesn't Jimmy Swaggart attend church regularly and lead his congregation in prayer? Didn't Jim Baker from the infamous 700 Club attend church a lot and pray for hours on his show? And how about Elmer Gantry? Now, there was a guy who prayed a lot and was a church-going man. And I'm not making fun of church-going people here. I'm a member of the Christian faith myself. I'm just pointing out the fact that some of the worst people I have ever known went to church and prayed. The fact is, going to church and praying are no measure of a person's moral values. The moral values are accumulated outside the church. The moral values are what a person does in his everyday life. And Bush's actions outside the church are certainly not those of a man with good moral values. Does a man with good moral values support companies like Halliburton and Enron? Can you say Kenny Boyle? Does a man with good moral values tell outright lies to take our country into a war with a country that had nothing whatever to do with 9/11? Just to satisfy his own personal agenda and that of his powerful friends? Does a man with good moral values sacrifice the lives of over 1,100 of our soldiers and get another 10,000 or so maimed for life on the basis of a lie? Does he allow the killing of perhaps 100,000 innocent Iraqis in the name of imperialism? Does a man of good moral values worry more about making his enormously wealthy campaign contributors even more rich, while ignoring the plight of the average Joe and Sally American trying to make a decent life for their kids while working two jobs at a minimum wage not high enough to provide even the most basic needs? Does a man with moral values forsake the elderly in favor of the pharmaceutical company's profit? The list goes on and on. This man has no moral values. How could 59 million voters not know that? How? Well, I'll tell you how. Of course, as I mentioned, many of them are just plain stupid. Stupid is as stupid does, and there's no cure for stupidity. You can fix ignorance, but stupidity is there for life, and a good share of those 59 million Republican voters have a terminal case of it, and they proved it on November the 2nd. It's the cure for outright ignorance I want to briefly mention. Where do those ignorant voters get their news? Many admit they watch Fox News and listen to Hannity and Limbaugh the drug junkie, Laura Ingraham, Mike Savage, Bill O'Reilly the pervert, and a host of other right-wing shows on TV and radio. The voters actually form their opinions from watching these shows. I've said it 100 times, please do not form your political opinions from my show. Listen to what I have to say, and then do some research, check out some independent sources, and form your opinions from a composite of all of that. Don't vote for a president until you've checked out all sides of the issue. You know, I've said it before, if you're stupid, I can't help you. If you're merely ignorant, stay tuned, because we can help you get on the road to recovery from that. That's how I feel this week, and that's how I want to answer all the folks that express their outrage at what I said last week. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good afternoon. Well, you know, regarding religious people, I've found that religious people can have one of the biggest con artists come up to them carrying a Bible and reading scriptures and con them into believing in these characters. And they believe in him because they think he is like they are. But these people aren't like you are. You have your religion, but you don't know what their religion is. And that's the sad part of this. You know, last week I called in and I said we didn't have a campaign, we had a selling spree, and lo and behold, Frontline puts on a program Tuesday night called Persuaders, and it was about selling and how the American people are sold all kinds of products. Don't describe how they're made, what quality they are, and so forth. Now they describe how well it's going to make you feel and the feel good. And then they got down to the political part of this, and they said that most everything we heard in this campaign on both sides was more lies than we've ever heard in any campaign, and showed how everybody, of course, used the selling techniques to sell the product, and that's what I said last week. We've bought a bad product because more than half of our friends thought it was a good product, and you and I, of course, did not.
Well, a lot of people bought Edsel's, too.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if this program will ever rerun, but I'll tell you, it was really something to watch. I'm a salesman and know how to sell and recognized a lot of these things, but the public has been sold a bill of goods. And this, I don't believe President Bush is as religious as he puts on. It's only done to attract that voter, period.
Well, you know, John, you said you're in sales, and you know as well as I do, the best, most satisfying sales are the sales made with truth. And you can, you know, you can take it to the bank. The customer can bet on you and trust you, and you know you've got a customer that trusts you back and forth. That's the best. It's the flim-flam man, that the dishonest used car salesman, the dishonest used insurance salesman, and that's what we run into.
And a lot of people can recognize these. When I have my businesses, and they say, I'm not going over there to so-and-so, that guy's a crook. That people can recognize that, but a lot of people can't. They put their faith in these people, especially people who are carrying that God flag, and that just upsets me so much, because it's an abuse of God, and you know, you'd hope they'd be stricken down. Bill Moyers also had a great interview last night, and it'll play again tomorrow at 11 on public broadcasting, with a fellow who was outlining Afghanistan. He's been there. He told a lot about what's going on there, and I'm going to watch the tape again and watch the show again.
I normally get to watch it on Friday. I didn't get to see it last night.
I won't go into too much detail because we've just got a limited time, but the drug lords are in control over there, and if we didn't have 18,000 troops there, things would get way out of hand. And I don't even think people realize we have 18,000 troops there. They don't know how many troops we have there. They don't know how many people have been killed there, just like in Iraq. 1,160 plus now, and it just doesn't seem to face anybody. And I believe this fellow that wrote about Afghanistan said we've lost in Iraq and we ought to be engaging in peace talks.
Well, you know, in Afghanistan, I mean, the people that are coming back from there that want to tell the truth about it, Karzai can't even go out of his house without fearing
exactly.
for his life. The warlords, he's made deals with the warlords.
Exactly.
They're the drug trade. They have to have the drug trade because they don't have anything else, and the Americans are turning their eyes the other way on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the British are supposed to be stopping this, but they pick the fields, then they burn them, then they take the British in to show that they've burned these poppy fields. You have to watch the interview, but I want to talk about Bush and his payback to Blair. I caught Daniel Shore this morning, and he had quite a bit to say, but... And Bush doesn't like to pay back. He takes and takes, but he doesn't give. And, of course, Blair is up for re-election, and Blair wants the United States' help in creating a Palestinian state and Israel and Palestinians getting to be peaceful now.
Oh, now and, they want to make it.
Yeah, and he's you know, he went to Washington to recruit Bush for this. So it'll be interesting to see how much Bush gives, but... According to Daniel Shore, if he didn't have to do this, he certainly wouldn't even think of it. And what is this? You went to an economics class, I'm sure, somewhere in your life. Do you invest capital or do you spend it?
I tell you what, the guy, well, you know. Hey, John, I got to move on. Thanks for your call, I tell you. Let's go to Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Yeah, John gave a good call there, as always. But I wanted to bring up, too, because you were talking about voter fraud and that, and I hope that maybe sometime in the near future again you'll have Bev Harris back on.
Tried to get her on this week, and me being gone a couple of days and all, we just never hooked up.
Yeah, but this with the you're talking about the right-wing conservative, I don't know, I call them a cult. So, yeah, they are religious, I guess. But, you know, being a Christian, I don't fall in their category, and I don't want to. But they're forgetting one thing. Lucifer himself goes in and out of heaven and sits right up there with God, you know. And Lucifer knows God better than we do. You know, so, I mean, who are they following? You know, it comes down to the 10 virgins where your oil, their oil isn't ready, you know. And, I mean, you may as well get ready because, Guy, you know what's coming to this country. We're headed for the greatest depression that ever hit.
Well, I sat with a gentleman yesterday in Washington whom I'd, you know, I'm not going to tell you his name. I don't want to betray his trust. But he sat right there telling me that oil is going to $80 a barrel.
Oh, I think it's going to go up to about $200
a
barrel.
And, you know, it's going to be, you know, there's nothing we can do about it.
And you know, the way they've had typhoons and earthquakes and all these disasters over in Japan and that, they're going to, all they need to do is pull in on us and say that they need us to repay them back for the loans. And I'll tell you, this country is going to collapse within an hour.
Well, the thing is now, the Saudis, first of all, I'm told, and I was privy to some of this inside stuff yesterday, the Saudis are pulling their money out of this country as fast as they possibly can because they feel betrayed. They don't like the attitudes toward the Saudis. I was told yesterday by a gentleman who knows one of the crown princes told him he doesn't even want to come to this country anymore because of the way he's treated. So they're pulling the oil, pulling their money out. And before, when they had all their money invested here, they had to kind of take care of us. They had to not bust our economy with high oil prices. But now that they're pulling their money out,
well, it's
Katie by the bar the door.
To break our country.
Yeah.
You know, as the world economic leader, we've got to be broken down by these other people, and that's how they look at it. You know, so I look for bad times. I hope everyone enjoys these holidays because I think they won't have another one for a long time.
Oh, boy, you make me feel bad. Thanks,
hey,
thanks for your
care.
Call, Diane.
Bye.
Let's go on over and talk to George in Naples about global warming. Hi, George.
Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon. I've just wanted to alert people about the fact that the scientists around the world say that global warming is changing ocean currents, and this will increase hurricanes here and elsewhere. So we had better urge the president to join the Kyoto International Treaty to help stop global warming. And so far, he has refused to join the rest of the nations of the world to work on this problem, and it is going to eventually endanger us with more hurricanes.
Well, there'll be Bush hurricanes. And, you know, George, Mr. Bush is so doggone smart. He knows better than everybody else in the world what's good for our environment. And, of course, he has already claimed that the work our great scientists have done, many of them Nobel laureates, is junk science. But
yeah.
Mr. Bush must have done awfully well in science in school.
If somebody helped him.
Yeah, that's the only way. But, you know, he makes a mockery of it. He really does. And his administration has not addressed environmental issues in any meaningful way whatsoever.
Right, right. In fact, he's damaged the national government's effort to regulate so we can protect the environment. And but, now, I mean, the people of Florida should be very concerned after what they've gone through with these hurricanes, that they get another load of these hurricanes next year, and Florida will be done for.
Yeah, we're and you know, it's as it was explained to me, okay, there's a lot of damage done by the hurricanes, but after we get another round or two of this, insurance prices are going to go up so high that, A, you can't get insurance, and, of course, if you can't get insurance, you can't get a mortgage, or, B, you'll be able to get insurance, but it'll be at such a high price, only the super rich will be able to afford it, and it will destroy the economy of Florida.
You're exactly right, and I hope that's why I wanted to be sure to get this word in about the hurricanes and the international treaty and the fact that Bush is not supporting what the rest of the... One of the items that's on Tony Blair's agenda coming over here was to work on getting Bush to support the international Kyoto Treaty.
Yeah, well, you know, he's had nothing but scorn for that, and it's going to take a real turnaround for him to have anything to do with it now. He'd have to admit he's wrong, George, and you know he doesn't do that.
He doesn't know right from wrong.
No, I don't think so. That's
yeah.
Probably why he can't admit it. George, thanks so much for your call.
Good.
And by the way, George, we're going to have Carl Hodges, the great environmentalist, on again in the very near future.
Delighted to hear him.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jack.
Let's see. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. I don't understand why you want to save the environment. Isn't it more important to make money?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the message.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I think you and I are on the wrong track.
Smash and grab everything. Grab everything you can grab now and don't worry about tomorrow.
We have a local newspaper, and I know your show goes out elsewhere, so I need to preface this because it's not just a local show, called the Fort Myers News, or the News Press, used to be Fort Myers News Press. The lead letter to the editor, written by a Mr. David Huck in the paper today, has a opening sentence which I think tells a lot of this whole issue on more. In fact, they title this whole section Spotlight More on Moral Values. And I'd like to quote his first sentence, if I might.
Go right ahead.
Quote, "Separation of church and state, the liberals' mantra for keeping Christians from criticizing the moral decline in America, has been dealt a mortal blow."
Oh, I got to hear the logic of this.
You want me to go on with this letter?
Yeah, I sure do.
I mean, this is on today's paper, and I want to take it apart.
I just got in from Washington before showtime, and I didn't get a chance to read our local paper here this morning.
Well, I tell you, you've got to see this first letter. The humanist Democrats who see morality as a personal choice and say that what's wrong for you may not be wrong for them have been defeated at the polls. Right and wrong are definitive and come essentially from the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. They're the foundation of our laws. Believing otherwise argues with history. For years, Christians have been told by liberals to keep our religion to ourselves and not to impose our beliefs on others. It now appears that millions of us decided not to keep our religion to ourselves, but decided instead that the liberals are not going to impose their loose morals on us. It's that simple. Even more significant, against the greatest, wealthiest, and most diabolical political armada ever assembled to defeat and destroy a good Christian leader, he prevailed. He prevailed because Christians woke up and joined with other moral men and women. We worked in the campaign, we donated to it, we voted, and we'll do it again. Get used to it. And signed, David Huck in Cape Coral.
Mm. Wow.
Now, let me tell you what disturbs me. What disturbs me is I grew up, and I grew up, I guess as a youngster during World War II, and it was my understanding that one of the basic freedoms in this country that people died for was freedom of religion. Am I correct?
Certainly was.
And this country was based on freedom of religion, a freedom to believe what you chose, as you chose, and this was a personal choice. And if I listen to gentlemen like Mr. Huck, and I'm using his name because it's published in the paper, so
sure.
I think that's acceptable.
Yes.
If, you know, I don't have a problem with their beliefs. They have a right to believe as they choose.
Absolutely.
I have a right to believe as I choose. I happen not to be a Christian. And I say that very publicly. Does it now seem that government has a right, under his mantra, to tell me how to believe and a right to legislate that belief?
That's what they're after.
And, well, I think people had better understand. This means that one of the great pillars of freedom in this country will be eroded by people who wave the flag. And, you know, tell us how patriotic they are. But in the name of their God, they're going to tell me how I have to practice and how I have to believe.
What's going to boil down to?
I mean, do we all have to be believing Christians, pray in school, follow their religious beliefs in order to be good Americans?
Well, you know, a good many of the, you know, there's always the talk of, and I'm a member of the Christian faith. That's my personal thing. That's not anything I would ever put upon anybody else. But, you know, it's bandied about so often, John, and so many people hear this all the time, that they make it sound like every one of our founding fathers was a good Christian man, and they founded this country on the foundation of Christianity. You know, a good number of the founding fathers of this country were really universalist or Unitarians. So Christianity was not as big in founding this country as a lot of people would have us believe and want us to believe now, so that we can go back to doing what they want us to do. And I resent that.
Well, I think the question not only is what the founders believe, what do we believe? Do we believe that religious belief is personal and individual choice? Is this part of our freedom? Or does government have a right to legislate it?
No, certainly not. And
well, you say certainly not, but I think this, when they say there is no separation of church and state, this is what they're arguing.
Well, when you get guys like Falwell and Robertson and James Dobson and all that throwing their 2 cents worth in, you know that's where they're going. I mean, there's no question about it. And by the way, they've got their hand out right now to George Bush. Hey, George. We put you in office, what are you going to do for us? And they're looking for payback, and they'll get it.
You know, if people, you know, have the strength of belief, and if Christian belief is as strong as these people tend to say, my question is, why do they need government legislation to impose it on the rest of the people?
That's right. Yeah, it's got no place in legislation. Hey, John, got to move on.
Well, I just think people had to open up their eyes, because if these people have their way, one of the basic pillars of American freedom will disappear.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thanks
Thank
for your
you
call,
for your
John.
Time.
Hey, we're going to go to break, and before we do, I'm going to play a little piece of music that a gentleman sent to me. His name is Jerry Scott, and if I can get this thing to play, you know my abilities here with the... Let's just see if we can hear this thing play. No? It's not going to play for me? We'll do it after the break. We'll be right back. I pulled a fast one on him here. Not ready for the break? I guess not. Okay. We are ready for the break. You're listening to the Guy James Show, and we'll be right back after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
One voice. It can get the point across, but it only carries so far. Add a voice. It's richer, louder, but that has limits too. Add a third voice. It's even more powerful. Add another, and another, and many, many more. And we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition. They help community groups, faith groups, civic organizations, PTAs, employers, and many others in your community organize their resources and focus them where they're needed most, like fighting to keep kids away from drugs. Ask a group that you belong to if they should belong to a community coalition. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org and they'll tell you exactly how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more when we get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics, and our lives are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-ALANON or visit our website. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming off their biggest win of the season, a 34-31 shootout over the high-powered Kansas City Chiefs. Now the Bucs set their sails for division rival Atlanta. Tune your radio this Sunday to Power Talk 1200 WPTK for the kickoff at 1 o'clock as Gene Deckerhoff and the rest of the broadcast team bring you all the hard-hitting action.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WPTK. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, we are back with you with the Guy James Show, and so glad to have all of you along with us. Call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. And a friend of the show, Jerry Scott, sent us a piece of music that him and his son, I think, had done. And I thought I was going to play it for you earlier, but I guess I really am now. Let's take a listen to this. It's called The Yellow Rogue of Texas.
Who claimed a victory? He is the bestest leader for our democracy. With tax cuts for the rich folks and the rest in poverty, the yellow rogue of Texas is the only president for me. He's still looking for Osama and those WMDs, and he'll make this country safer for you and for me. With 100,000 dead folks for the price of victory, yes, the yellow rogue of Texas is the only president for me. His shirts are made in Taiwan, his shoes from Cozumel, his boxes came from Hong Kong, as far as he can tell. He encourages outsourcing of our jobs to overseas, but the yellow rogue of Texas is the only president for me. He's concerned about the old folks and their security, and piled up the deficit as high as you can see. He laughs at evolution and the warming theories, yet the yellow rogue of Texas is the only president for me.
Woo-wee! I got me a mandate.
To him it doesn't matter if the whole world thinks he's wrong. The only thing that counts for him is that he's big and strong. He zips up his flight suit and struts across the deck. It's as close as he'll ever come to risking his own neck. He's the yellow rogue of Texas who claimed a victory. He is the bestest leader for our democracy. With tax cuts for the rich folks and the rest in poverty, the yellow rogue of Texas is the only president for me.
Ladies and gentlemen,
selected for his second term, our commander-in-chief.
What a frickin' goofball. Thanks a lot, pal. Nice work.
And there you have it. Jerry, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's the Yellow Rogue of Texas from Jerry Scott. Hey, you can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04, 479-5540 here locally, or if you happen to live in Collier County, 263-6570. Let's go to Damien down in Houston. Damien, welcome to the program.
How you doing, guy?
Great.
Now, I would have to follow that song. I'm calling from Texas, and I have to follow it.
I saw your name come up, and I said, he's in Houston. I got to play this first.
I figured that.
Yeah.
I wanted to, but you know, who was it, the girl from the Dixie Chicks that apologized or said she was ashamed that the president was from Texas?
Yeah.
I have to apologize to all your listeners that we perpetrated this guy on the rest of the country.
Well, apology accepted. I've apologized from being from Florida many times, too, regarding the vote.
Can you promise me that Jeb won't be president in 2008?
No, I cannot.
Okay. What I wanted to ask you about, you were talking earlier about evangelicals and that sort of thing. And what I wanted to ask you is, do you feel like the media perpetrates an image that all evangelicals or right-wing conservatives, and by that I mean when I look at television programs like Nightline and, you know, a lot of these cable talk shows, and they are discussing a religious issue, they always bring on people like Falwell and Pat Robertson and, you know, Lou Sheldon and all these right-wingers, even though there are a lot of liberals who are Christian and, you know, who are religious, but it seems like that they don't get the amount of airtime to present their views on these programs as these right-wingers do.
You know, I agree with you, and let me say just right up front, sometimes we are not fair lumping all the evangelicals together. I do know that a good number of evangelicals voted for Bush, and in fact a big majority, but there's also 25% of them that did not.
That's right.
So we do have to remember that, you know, some of those people involved. I apologize to those folks for lumping them all in, but it seems like that's how it goes. But you're right. I think the media has they've come up with a grouping there, so forth. It seems to fit the agenda, and they're going to stick with it.
Well, you know, I was looking at a Neil Mayer show, and I'm really saddened by the fact that he's not going to be on much longer.
Oh yeah,
on the show that is, and he has quite a few liberal religious leaders on his program. Like there's some guy who's the pastor of the Riverside Church, which is a large church in New York, and there are some other ones whose names I can't think of, but he has them on his program, and he does a good job of showing that there are people who are religious and who reject Bush as a so-called moral man, and they explain why he's not moral and why a lot of the views that these people express are not moral and are not really of Christian nature. But the problem is that these people don't get on these programs and don't get to be seen on cable shows, and therefore it's a one-sided image that people have of what Christians and what people like that are all about.
I agree. Yeah, you're right. There are many, and perhaps it is not. Well, who said that? It's not fair to all of them. It really isn't.
Well, you're doing a great job, and I want you to know you're helping me get through this catastrophe.
We'll come back from this.
We absolutely will. So keep up the good work, and we'll keep fighting a good fight.
Thank you, Damien.
All right, take care.
Our message is too strong not to come back from this. Our mission is too strong not to come back from this. We will come back from this. I want all of you that have tucked your tails between your legs, and I don't know a lot of people who have, but I do want you to remember this. When you take a look at that fool's map, that big red and blue map, do keep in mind that many, many, many of those red states were oh so close to being blue states. The margin, yeah, in Utah and Mississippi and a few places like that, it's a big margin. But in a lot of them, this country, don't forget, is 51-49, if we could count that as accurate, and we don't know that we can. But it's split down the middle. It's half red, half blue. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And as you know, as far as the morality issue of it, I don't know. As far as the vote was concerned, we had this gentleman here running in Florida, Jeff Fisher, running for a Democrat. I can't think offhand. I can't think who he's running against, but he was running against a Republican, of course. And Jeff is claiming that he has absolute proof that not only this vote, but the primary vote with Janet Reno and Bill McBride and everything was rigged as practice for this election because Jeb Bush didn't want to run against Janet Reno. He wanted to go, so that one was fixed in practice for this one, and he said he's got proof. And he was talking about that early in the week and said he'd called in the FBI and haven't heard another thing about it since. Any of you hear anything about it? I haven't. I haven't heard any more from Jeff Fisher. That was the last I heard anything from him. I want to know where's the beef in that. Jeff, if you got any proof, I hope you're going to bring it up to us. And, you know, what do you think about the thing going on in Fallujah? Odd, don't you think, that we waited until after the election to start this big thing in Fallujah? See, that's just how devious these people are. It really is. If they were going to attack Fallujah, and it's a failure, this attack in Fallujah that we're doing right now, because it's not doing what it was designed to do. It was designed to root out and kill the insurgent or the terrorist that happened to be there, but it turns out most of them are gone because we waited so long. You know, you told them for, what, a couple of 3 months, hey, we're going to attack you. Well, sooner, of course, everybody that was important in that movement blew town. And once again, they're still on the loose, and it was a failed mission because of political issues, because Bush waited till after the election because he didn't want any bad press. These people, I tell you. Let's go to Carl in Fort Myers. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Guy. Nice to talk to you.
What's on your mind today, my friend?
Well, sort of stole my thunder in these red and blue states. But anyway, I was watching a TV program that I forget which channel was on, CNN or one of those, and there was these two professors up somewhere, I don't know where they were, in some college, and they came up with this idea that these really red states aren't all that red, you know? It's like that some of these red states were barely won by George Bush.
Sure.
You know, and what they did, they took this map and they dissected it down, you know, state by state and county by county. And then it turned out that some of these red states are basically purple, you know, they're red and blue.
Right.
And, you know, so I think they're making a big deal about, you know, well, we won all these red states. Well, they did win them, but not by the margins they give you, you know, that they tell you they won them by.
No, and it's just simply a ploy so that they can go out and try and beat us over the head with their agenda and make it look like, well, gee, we've got this huge mandate.
That's absolutely right, and they do not. And, you know, it's but I'm with you. We'll have to suffer through 4 years of this idiot, and, you know, but, you know.
Well, it's true. I mean, it'd be nice to be able to say, ha, 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 you got to live with him for 4 years. Well, the only trouble is we're wrapped around his neck as well. We got to go along for the ride, too, and I resent it. I deeply resent it.
Well, that's true. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for your call, Carl. And, you know, this moral issue thing, I'm really sick of hearing it. I really am. The Republicans, and it's Karl Rove. All of you know that the Republican Party, if you got any sense, you know that the Republican Party does not have any more moral high ground than the Democratic Party does. I mean, that's ridiculous. Do you know how ridiculous that is? If you're one that claims that, I mean, it's absurd on its face. And yet a lot of you bought it. You know, you talk about morals, about this president and his morals. How can killing innocent Iraqis be seen as moral? Huh? Have you thought about that? It astounds me that we're talking morality in this country without questioning the ethics of having avenged the death of those on 9/11 by killing innocent Iraqis. We complained, we hollered, we mourned. Oh, they killed all these innocent people. And they did. And it was horrible. And we have every right to cry out. But we don't have any right to go seek vengeance at the price of killing thousands, perhaps 100,000 innocent Iraqis. Do we? Do we? Have you thought about it? I've never felt so alienated by 51% of my countrymen. Never. to think that they approved that. It sickens me when I see it. You know, I couldn't sleep last night. I mentioned earlier I was in Washington and couldn't get to sleep, and it had rained all day. It was a miserable day in Washington yesterday, cold and rainy. Ugh, what a miserable day. And took a walk down by the White House, saw they got the road opened up down there now. They've put granite sidewalk in. It's real nice. They don't have all the trees planted yet, but it's going to be a beautiful thing there. And the White House is beautiful and white as ever, but it sickens me to know what goes on inside there. But I went down and got some coffee last night, decaf, because I wanted to get to sleep. And I was sitting at a table in this beautiful little coffee house just up on K Street. And people sit with each other there. You don't sit by yourself. Whoever happens to want to sit down, they can sit down. And three people came up and sat down. They were together. And there was one person. They were friends. They worked together in an office building. One of them was a Czech from the Czech Republic. One of them was from Russia. And one of them was from Greece. And they sat down, and we got to talking. And they're here. They're not American citizens. They're here working in embassies and so forth. And we started talking about politics, naturally, since we're in Washington, you do what the natives do, and we talked about politics, and I brought up the fact that, well, what do you think? What do you think about this George Bush thing? I know you've always loved the American people, and I know you don't like the American government, but what do you think now? And horror of horrors, exactly what I thought came out of their mouths. The first gentleman to talk about it was the gentleman from Russia, and he told me in this beautiful Russian accent that, yes, they did not like the Russian government, the American government, the Russians don't, but they do love the American people. They like our sense of values and so forth and what we stand for, and we've always been a good nation, but they cannot understand, and their opinion has dropped considerably of the American people, because in their minds, and because we talked about it, Bush had stolen the first election, but this time the American people elected him, and it baffled these people that the American people really did elect George Bush as president. And the Greek gentleman and the Czech gentleman all concurred, said yes. They've always admired the American people, but the American people had taken several steps down in their eyes because of actually electing George Bush. Is that how we really feel? We must really feel like George Bush feels, or we wouldn't have elected him. And knowing that George Bush has a lower popularity overseas than any president I think we've ever had, that makes me feel pretty bad as an American. It really does. That people around the world. Now, I know the hardcore neocons say, we don't give a damn what people overseas think of us. We're the United States of America. To hell with them. The Germans, the French, the Russians, the Poles, the Czechs, all of them. Who cares what they think? I do. I care. Because like it or not, folks, all you neocons and hardcore conservatives, like it or not, this planet is getting smaller and smaller every single day. And I don't care. You can make fun of the UN, you can make fun of the world community all you want to, but we live in this world community, and we will have to get along in this world community without being the big bully on the block. It will come to that. Have you thought of the fact that someday we may not be the big bully on the block? And what then, if we're looked down upon in the eyes of the rest of the world to the degree that we are today? What then? Have you thought about that? I wonder. Let's go to Dave in Humboldt, California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you today, guy?
Great.
I wanted to talk about why I believe this election is rigged. I know that you're an intelligent man, and very soon I think you're going to have overwhelming evidence that it was rigged, and then I think they're going to have hell to play from you. But may I give you a few of my main reasons? One, I believe that they've been trying since the 2000 election to get these voting machines to have a verifiable, traceable record, and it's been like crazy by the GOP leadership, hazard and delay primarily. A lot of congressmen and senators had been pulling hard to try to get them verifiable, but they blocked it. You have to ask, why would they do that? Now, two is that the exit polls are quite accurate in almost all the elections except in those precincts that use these voting machines, in which case the exit polls show it going for the Democrats and the voting machines go for the GOP.
I agree. The exit polls, is the comparison there is where it smells the most to me.
Oh, yes, but add in there point three. The president of the Debo company once blurted out that he was going to throw the election for the Republicans. He later said that was kind of a stupid thing to say and withdrew it, but he had said it.
Sure.
And four, in hundreds of precincts that have these verifiable voting machines, I'm not putting that very well, there are many thousands more votes on these machines than there were eligible voters. Randy Rhodes has been doing a lot of study on this, and she's accumulated a great deal of evidence. But wherever they had the voting machines in Ohio, or where they had them in Arizona, a couple of other places, that there's thousands more votes, in some cases up to 300% of the registered voters voted. They had one person that was 124 years old who voted for the first time, and the oldest person in America, I think, is 115.
Yeah.
And they went to find her, and there was no such place. It was an empty lot. But to me, the evidence is falling overwhelmingly, and it's totally consistent with the character of this administration to cheat in every way that they can. They're not motivated to act in the best interest of this country. They're acting on behalf of their very greedy billionaire buddies, and destroying the country for them is no big thing. They don't have much conscience about it, I don't think.
I don't think so either, Dave, but we've got to come up with the proof. We've got to have somebody come up and say, hey, look here, I did it, I confess, I was involved in doing this, that, and the other thing. We need the actual proof. You know, I mean, it you know, it looks like a skunk, it smells like a skunk, the whole thing, but we need somebody to actually do the DNA and prove it's a skunk. I mean, where's it going to come from? I know there's I'm terribly disappointed that the party and the campaign haven't done enough to put this to rest or substantiate it one way or the other.
Well, there's a lot of good people moving on it right now. They're just good. It's been granted there will be a recount in the state of New Hampshire. The Democrats requested it even though they won it because that state has half verifiable paper, which all went for Kerry and the Democrats, and the other half was unverifiable machines, which all went Republican. All of the exit polls in that state went for Kerry overwhelmingly. And they think they will build a clear circumstantial case in New Hampshire that voting fraud was perpetrated on us.
Right.
Maybe somebody will be honest about it. I don't know. But you can put together an overwhelming circumstantial case, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Well, you know, the problem is circumstantial is not going to be good enough. Somebody's going to have to come up with like I say, the actual smoking gun, and maybe they will. I certainly hope so, because I agree with what you said, Dave. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it smells to high heaven. There's no question about it. It stinks. But, you know, in logic, if you just use plain old good old American logic and look at this, you think, oh, no, there's something rotten in Denmark here. But we're going to have to come up with the overwhelming proof, and it's the burden's on our shoulders. Dave, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Let's go to Jen in North Fort Myers. Hi, Jen.
Hi there. You said we should call if somebody disagreed that Republicans were closer to God and all this than Democrats.
Why, sure.
There's only one thing. They have a different God. They have the God on the dollar bill and this bill and that bill. Because they talk about moral values. How about greed and thievery and huge companies stealing all of people's money and profit and getting away with it? You know, they have a God, but it isn't my God. It's not printed on a piece of paper or a coin.
Well, Jen, I can't say I disagree with you on that. There's a lot of... a lot done in the name of greed, in the name of morality, and it it sickens me that it's come to that in this country, but it has.
Yeah, the gentleman just before was talking about this trail. Those states that had a paper trail,
right?
I'm not sure because I can't quote the man who said it, but it was on the news, that they all went for Kerry. Now, I voted in Florida. I don't know where my vote went, and I don't believe it went to where I wanted it to go.
Well, the problem is we have no proof, do we? Once it goes into... Hey, we got a...
Three young girls in a store. Young girls, which made me happy, talking about they couldn't believe this.
I know.
Down here.
I know.
It seems like, you know, they stole one and bought another one.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
You're right.
And unless we figure out some other... I think we go black and white marbles and throw them in a barrel.
That would suit me just fine. Hey, Jen, we got to pause for news at the top of the hour. Thanks for calling. Great.
Wow, this kind of talk
going long. I know. Hey, thanks so much.
Okay,
bye now. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show on 1200 WPTK Fort Myers, Florida, and we're going to pause for the news, and I want you to stay tuned because we've got a lot to discuss when you get back.
The Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island's Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Vice President getting some tests at a Washington hospital. I'm Joan Bennett. It seems Vice President Dick Cheney was experiencing shortness of breath. He'd been suffering from a bad cold following a hunting trip, and in light of his heart history, doctors told him to go to George Washington University Hospital to be examined. ABC's Dr. Timothy Johnson.
Obviously, given Vice President Cheney's history of heart disease, they're going to be super cautious when a symptom like shortness of breath comes up. Shortness of breath can be one of the symptoms of heart trouble, of an actual heart attack or of heart failure. And so, given his history and his position, I think they're being extra cautious, but appropriately so.
The 63-year-old vice president has had four heart attacks, and after his last one in 2000, Mr. Cheney gave up smoking, started exercising, and says he changed his diet. ABC News has learned that his EKG today was normal. U.S. troops today declared the operation to clear Fallujah of militants accomplished, but they acknowledged that two of the most wanted suspects, including terror mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, got away. U.S. officers said some pockets of resistance remain, and it still could take several days of fighting to wipe them out. President Bush is convinced the elections will change everything.
Iraqi people, like the people of Afghanistan before them, are embracing a democratic future, even in the face of threats and intimidation. Throughout the country, Iraqi men and women are registering to vote. Political parties are forming. Candidates for office are stepping forward.
Democratic Congressman Chet Edwards of Texas with a Democrats radio address calling on the Bush administration to make the needs of veterans a priority.
It is wrong that this year's VA health care budget does not even keep up with health care inflation, even though 28,000 new Iraqi war veterans have needed VA health care services.
In Florida, Miami-Dade police reviewing their stun gun policy after officers admitted using tasers on two young children. This is ABC News.
An OnStar conversation, August 13th, 2004.
OnStar Center, this is Michael. How may I help you?
Hey, Michael. I'm down in Florida, and we're evacuating for Hurricane Charlie, and somehow the doors on my vehicle got closed and locked. I'm locked out.
Sorry to hear it. I'd be more than happy to help you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Let's start with a home telephone number, 941.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
This is Michael from OnStar calling to let you know your vehicle's now unlocked.
Yeah, we saw it. Thanks. We got to get out of here for this hurricane.
Yes, I know. Have a good evacuation.
There's no such thing.
Try to stay dry.
Pray for us, and we'll pray for you when it comes to you.
Okay, please know we're here whenever you need us.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think. The first year of service is included on new OnStar-equipped vehicles. An unlimited use of all OnStar safety services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To learn more, visit OnStar.com.
Once upon a time, there were three little bears. The mama bear, the daddy bear, and the baby bear. And they lived in a cottage.
This year, United Way worked to ensure quality child care for over 6,555 children in Kansas City. And it doesn't matter. To do so, we coordinated the efforts of 95 providers, 11 partners, and 8 different funders. And it doesn't matter. We help thousands of families in 8 different counties. And it still doesn't matter. The number of centers and services doesn't really matter. What matters are the children now with a chance, and families now with a future.
Hey, honey, breakfast is ready.
Coming, honey.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring about the results that matter where you live. What matters? United Way.
No matter what you're doing to lose weight and improve your health, one of the keys to success is variety. The more foods you can enjoy as part of the regimen, the less bored you'll be, the less likely to cheat, and the better your chances of sticking with the program for long-term success. For people following the Atkins nutritional approach, there's now a cookbook that offers more than 175 delicious and satisfying recipes, all designed to help diners reduce their carbs. Atkins Best Recipes, the first full-color Atkins cookbook, is terrific for both newcomers and longtime devotees. Each recipe features nutritional information and indicates the appropriate phases of Atkins. Dishes are divided into such chapters as appetizers and snacks, soups and stews, breakfast and brunches, and desserts and sweets. Readers will also find tips for stocking a low-carb kitchen, plus a handy carb gram counter to arm you with all you need to know to live a controlled carb lifestyle. Atkins Best Recipes is available at newsstands and supermarkets.
Only 2 games left in the regular season for the boys of Florida, and the Gators will look to close it out on a high note beginning this Saturday when they host the South Carolina Gamecocks at Ben Hill Griffin with a kickoff at 7 o'clock. It's a big SEC matchup in primetime, and it's only on Power Talk 1200 WPTK.
God bless America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James here with you on a sunny afternoon in Southwest Florida. Glad to have you with us on the Guy James Show. 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 5 toll-free numbers for you to use. And locally here, 479-5540 in Lee County and in Collier County, 263-6570. We did pretty good here locally. We got beat, naturally. We expected we'd get beat, but our turnout for the Democrats was better than ever, and our percentage of the vote was better than we have been doing, so our efforts paid off. As I mentioned earlier, we went to Washington this week to talk radio with some important folks there, in particular this talk radio show. And I happen to think, and I hope you don't think that I'm being selfish by saying this, but I happen to think that the deficiency that we liberals have on talk radio is largely responsible for the defeat we have just suffered, or the defeat they want us to think we suffered. I don't think it should be even close. And I attribute this loss, if that's what it turns out to be, and we hope it doesn't, but kind of looking that way, I attribute this loss to just plain old ignorance on the part of folks who don't know the truth about the matter. Now, we all know about these studies and that have shown that the viewers of Fox News and so forth don't know the facts. Many of them think that the WMDs were there. You know the whole story. They're woefully uninformed. And you know as well as I do that if we had the numbers on talk radio that they have, we could certainly inform some of these people and cast them out of the ignorance that that they're infected with. We could get them away from that ignorance if we could just get the truth to them. And we can't get the truth to them in the numbers that we need to because we're getting killed on the radio with the numbers. I've often said around here it's about 150 hours of right-wing radio around here when you add up all the shows on in our neighborhood here to three. What kind of odds is that? I mean, I know this is a Republican area, but don't you think we could change a lot of ideas, inform people a lot better if we had more time? Of course we could. That only makes sense. And not just here, but all over America. And I know Air America's trying hard, and I know Ed Schultz is trying hard, and I'm trying hard, and several other people are trying hard. But part of the trip, not part of, the entire reason for the trip to Washington this week was to talk to people who can do something about it, and I did talk to some people who I think can do something about it, to help get more airtime for liberals around this country. That is the answer, folks. That is the answer. We're being overwhelmed, absolutely inundated with right-wing radio talk and TV. And we're, you know, they like to come back and say, oh, yeah, but the Hollywood people, hell. That means nothing. And I got to tell you what, I don't know, I don't care if you agree with me or not, but I wish the Hollywood people would just keep their mouth shut, and I wish we wouldn't go out and associate with them when it comes to politics. I may be in the minority in the Democratic Party for that, but I don't give a damn what the people in Hollywood think any more than they give a damn what I think. It just doesn't do me any good to hear what Bruce Springsteen's political values are. It doesn't do any good to hear Martin Sheen's. I don't care. And I don't think they affect the vote whatsoever. But Rush Limbaugh does, and Sean Hannity does, and those folks do. So I'm just saying that shows like this, Air America, Ed Schultz, some of those, Tom Hartman, they need help. They need help to get bigger and better. And it's going to take a lot of help from people around the country. And I hope they take that seriously. The folks I talked to this week seem to be taking it seriously. So, hey, let's go on out to Pat in Cape Coral. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guy, this is Pat. I talked to you about a little over a month ago, and I think we had a good discussion. And actually, when I listened in the following week, you know, I called in, you know, kind of concerned that you were calling every Republican stupid. And I think the following week even made a partial concession that not all Republicans are stupid, just that most people you met that were stupid were Republicans, so I took that as a...
there you go, you got a moral victory.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, I'll tell you, guys, I'm listening to all your callers and you, and first of all, you're right, you know, 55 million people voted for Kerry in 58, 59, whatever the numbers are, voted for Bush, so, and there were close states, certainly in the, you know, Republican states, but there were close states also on the blue side.
Absolutely.
But the point that I guess I want to make is that, and I think I talked to you about my views, you know, I'm Catholic and very much, you know, anti-abortion. And, you know, I think the Democrats have, I mean, going into 2008, I mean, if you're going to put up Hillary Clinton, I really don't think you have a chance. But I do think, you know, if the Republicans put up someone like Giuliani, you know, is pro-choice, Democrats have to take some kind of a moderate position. I mean, the partial birth abortion, parental notification. If they are just going to keep the abortion on demand posture, I don't see where they're going to pick up any moderate Republican votes. And you know, we talk about, you know, people being stupid and that, but to me, the thing that's really stupid is to keep, you know, losing the 2000 election, losing the midterm elections, losing seats in the Senate and the House again in 2004, but still giving the same message.
Well, you're right. It's like the old story of going to the refrigerator and getting the carton of milk. You take a drink of it. The milk's sour. You put it back in the refrigerator and say, well, maybe it'll be better tomorrow.
Exactly.
That's what you're talking about. I agree with you. I agree with you, although I don't agree that we should necessarily change. I'm against partial birth abortion. I'm most certain.
So many Democrats are.
Yeah, most certainly.
Democrats
but the Republicans have been, you have to understand this. The Republicans have been so successful, and I don't know how we're going to get underneath the weight of that anvil. They've been so successful as painting the Democratic Party as pro-abortion. I don't know a single soul, nobody, have I ever met that says, boy, I like abortion. But
you
would have the public, a lot of the public would say, well, you know, those Democrats, they like abortion. And it's just not true.
I can tell you why I think is that, please tell me one Democrat. And the only Democrat I ever knew that was pro-life was the governor of Pennsylvania that they wouldn't let speak at the 92 convention. Is there a Democrat lawmaker out there? I don't know of one that's pro-life. I mean, the Republicans have pro-choice people in their party.
Yeah.
You know, so can you name one senator, governor, Democratic that is, you know, pro-life?
You know, Pat, I probably can't, and it's not because there aren't any. It's just because I haven't taken the time to find out. And
well,
I tell you,
you don't see them on TV or anything. That's it. They're not their figureheads. They're not their spokespeople.
Well, let me explain why I don't know, and because I haven't taken any initiative to find out, is because I think that this is not a political issue. It has never been an issue. It never should have been a political issue. And in my mind, it never will be a political issue. It shouldn't be. You can't, as the old saying goes, you can't legislate morality.
Right.
And it's something that we've been saddled with, I think unfairly. But then again, the Republicans, you know, you hear I can think of a dozen of them, tax and spend Democrats.
Right.
Well, when in fact it's the tax and spend Republicans that spend anyway. They're spending crazy. They've done a better job of marketing than we have.
And you know why that is? Because the Democrats surround themselves, whether it be Michael Moore, Whoopi Goldberg, and I'm telling you, I'm sorry, but middle-aged, white conservative America, they are, you mean, if that's the face of the Democratic Party, you're not going to get that vote. You're going to keep chasing it away. And until you get a Evan Vai or a Joe Lieberman getting a little bit more national exposure, and I listen to your callers, they call in, and some are kind of way out there, and we're never going to reach them, but there are a lot of other ones that, you know, are certainly middle ground. I mean, you look at, you know, even like I said, I believe in some of the Democratic issues. Minimum wage, I voted for that to be increased here in Florida. I'm against the death penalty. Okay, and again, that is a moral view, but I am pro-life. I am against the death penalty. And there are Democratic positions that I can support. But, the Democrats have to at least make some gesture. I mean, when the gay marriage thing, I don't think that wasn't a big issue, but there was not a Democrat that stood up and said, hey, this is wrong I think that was the worst thing that hurt Kerry. It was a judge in Massachusetts, and whether or not he had anything to do with it or not, which he didn't, he's tied to Massachusetts. It was a judge in Massachusetts that said that. He was tied to it. And until the Democrats get back to the Democrats of the 60s, and I'm really aging myself here a little bit, but, you know, Kennedy, Humphrey, but if they go that McGovern route and keep, you know, they're going to force Hillary at people, I'm sorry, you know, the people are going to be calling you 4 years from now moaning and groaning again about it being fixed and all this kind of stuff.
Well, I can't argue with some of what you say. I certainly can't, but I still think it goes back to marketing, and it has to do with what I was talking about before I took your call.
Yeah.
I think somebody sent me a note about you're a a hopeless knuckle dragger if you're convinced that, and he gave 11 things on here. This is from Buzz Click on Democratic Underground, but one of the things was, Rush Limbaugh is just an entertainer, so a little inaccuracy here and there is okay, whereas Michael Moore is a fat, lying sack of crap. How has that been marketed? You know, Rush Limbaugh is every bit the lion sack of crap, drug junkie lion sack
well,
of crap.
Well, I'm not even calling names at Michael Moore. If he was a Democrat with a drug problem, we'd be feeling sorry for him. But since he's a Republican, we're saying he's two-faced.
If he's a Democrat with a drug problem and acted the way he has about it, I wouldn't feel one bit sorry for him. I promise you that. I'd throw him to the wolves.
I would say, and I don't want to take up all your time, is that if you guys start preaching the message, you know, lower. I mean, people. It's a great message in many cases. Lower the taxes on the people who can afford it the least. You know, it's like health care. I mean, if someone came out and said we're going to have a a 1% national sales tax, and all that money's going to go to health care. You know, I don't think, you know, there's a lot of Republicans, I think, that, hey, you know, we do need to have a better health care system, or even minimum wage. If that means that I've got to pay a little more at a restaurant, or a restaurant tour makes a little bit less, but instead of paying $5.15 an hour, it's $6.15 or $7, people are open to those things. But they've got to get, you know, the face of the Democratic Party needs to change. And until the face, and you're talking marketing, you're right, it is marketing.
It is.
But who are the Democrats marketing?
Well,
get Evan Bayh up there.
That's what we're going through right now, Pat. And Pat, I got to move on, but I got to tell you, I've got to get you out of that Republican Party because you're just.
I think there's middle ground there, and I just think preach the positive.
Pat, I've got to get you out of that Republican Party because you are entirely too reasonable.
All right, we'll
thanks for calling. It's a pleasure to talk to him. Let's go to Amanda up in Georgia. Hi, Amanda.
Hello, Guy. How are you doing?
All right.
Sounds like that fellow wanted to sip the Kool-Aid a little bit, didn't he?
Well, he's been on it, but he's nice about it.
Yeah, he was nice.
I like him.
He was nice.
Yeah.
But he was wrong on a couple of occasions, speaking about the, I don't care whether you, first of all, Whoopi Goldberg is not the face of a white conservative.
Okay? Oh, that's why I think we Democrats should lay off the Hollywood thing. I might be in the minority here, but I'm offended, not by what they say and everything. I'm offended that we depend on them, I don't know if depends is the right word, but looking for the backing of Hollywood people. Who cares?
Oh, well, this is true. They're just citizens like we are. I've been around enough people. You know I've been around enough people that they're just people. You know,
that's okay? Right. And
they're just people just like you and I are people.
Yep.
And, I agree with the point that you can't depend on, you know, the big superstars and everything because they do have a different lifestyle than we do. They're not your average Joe, and neither is George Bush. He's not your average Joe. He's not even your average cowboy.
No.
But he's a good, you know, he puts on a good show, and I do agree with you on marketing. I have some news, though. Found out some information. My niece called me from, are you familiar where Nassau County is?
Nassau County.
It's up near Fernandina Beach.
Oh, in Florida?
In Florida,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, she called and said that there was two or three van loads of people who loaded up nursing home people to go vote. Now, to me, it would seem reasonable to vote absentee, not load up people who were drooling, and they were actually drooling somewhere, and the people who the caretakers pushed the button for them, and Nassau County is, you know, predominantly Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I found that really interesting.
Well, yeah, but they're going to have to come up with 350,000 of them.
Oh, sure. But I'm saying, I don't care whether they voted for Kerry or whether they voted for Bush. That's just wrong. You can't use the disabled any such way.
Well, some wrong things happen. We just need to,
But going back to the marketing, a lot of people may take exception with me here, and I have said it before. Al Franken, to me, is, you know, he writes books, he takes on Bill O'Reilly, but to me, he's not a broadcaster. You and I know, I mean, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
And there needs to be more than Al Franken out there. There needs to be a lot of people out there getting the message across. Now, the Republican person who was on the show, he brought up a lot of good points. He still was, in my opinion, he was still trying to push their agenda on us. And what is the point of having two parties if we're going to be Republican-like?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't, first of all, you know, he said he didn't believe in the death penalty. Neither do I. And some of the moderate folks don't believe in abortion. Well, it appears to me that President Bush believes in after full term afterbirth abortion. I mean, wait till you get here, and then we'll kill you off. You know. So
Well, we're doing military abortions in Iraq
absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, whether a child is, and they are children.
We're killing pregnant women in Iraq. There've been a lot of pregnant women get killed in Iraq. That's just as immoral.
But I don't believe that they say that they won the election on morals and values. I don't buy that. I'm not buying into that, not one iota. But I tell you what, this is some good news for all of you people who are feeling despaired and down. I'm not too concerned about the next 2 to 4 years, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm old enough that I remember Nixon, and when the rats start leaving the ship, they squeal, and they talk. And they will, you know, I just believe that truth comes to light eventually.
Yeah, and there seems to be a lot of scurrying going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people, what was it? Paul O'Neill said the price of loyalty. Well, it seems to me that when people start leaving their positions, their loyalty just goes whoop, right out the window.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there'll be, you know, there's a John Dean out there somewhere, and he's going to spill his guts.
Yeah.
And when he does, you know, then they're going to say, well, you know, and they said, well, we've got a Republican Congress and Senate. Well, this is true. This is absolutely true. But these people want to hold on to their seats as well.
That's right.
So when it comes to, you know, well, now, George, you shouldn't have done that, you know. I mean, gosh, you know, because I saw plenty Clinton did wrong, plenty. And we're not so narrow-minded that we can't call it like we see it. I didn't defend him on a lot of things that he did. And I don't think you did either.
No.
But I agree with you 100% on the marketing. Glad to hear that you're on the show. Hope things are going well. Want to say hello to all my DUR friends. And, y'all support the Guy James Show.
Hey, Amanda, thanks so much.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Good talking to you.
And by the way, you can support the Guy James Show by going to www.theguyjamesshow.com. And you can donate right on there to help keep this reasonable voice of mine on the air. Right? You did. We are reasonable, don't you think? You wouldn't think so according to my hate mail this week. We're going to get back to having Republican love again very, very soon. I noticed that some of the letters this week weren't quite so bad. We still have to censor them quite a bit. Let me ask you something. Do you, my Democratic friends, do you write letters, awful letters to people? I mean, just using every blue word in the world and just giving it to them. Do you do that? I'd like to know. Is that just a Republican thing? Of course, they've got the moral values. I don't know. Hey, you know something we predicted on this program a few months back? And I'm sorry, I disagree with our good friend Bob Graham, our Senator Bob Graham, who's retiring, and Bill Nelson, who's the senator here in Florida. I don't agree with Bill Nelson on a lot of things. But, you know, how Bob Graham and a lot of the senators and so forth were pushing Porter Goss, saying what a great guy Porter Goss was for the CIA. Well, first of all, I don't think Porter Goss has ever been a good public servant. His attendance in the Congress was pathetic, and no one around here seemed to care. They kept electing him. I think Porter Goss was for Porter Goss, and there were a lot of people who predicted that there would be big trouble in the CIA if they put a partisan hack like Porter Goss in as CIA director. Well, guess what? It has started. Was in Washington yesterday when the story broke. I'm trying to think of his name, McMurray or Murray, his chief of staff. He brought with him from the Intelligence Committee, brought him over. And the people at the CIA hate this guy, and he's been pushing his weight around. And now we're getting resignations at the CIA by some top people, claiming that Goss is saying, "Well, don't talk to me about problems. I'll leave it up to this guy." And so it's not working out so well. And just like we predicted, Porter Goss is not the guy for that job. Never was the guy for that job. Just because he spent some time in the CIA doesn't mean he's qualified to be the director of the CIA, for God's sake. And I don't know, but that was strictly a political thing. He's in there because of his partisanship, not because of his nonpartisanship, and he's making a mess of it already. So get ready. You're going to hear more about it. I think there was I had the Washington Post under my door this morning. I do love that paper. And there's a big story in there about Porter Goss and how it's going. It's not going real well, folks. Not going well at all. Julio in Fort Myers, welcome to the show.
Guy. What's going on? I'm glad you mentioned the thing right now about the CIA, because one of the gentlemen who quit was the guy who wrote the book Imperial Hubris. Okay. He just resigned yesterday. And for anybody who wants to know what we're in store for the next 4 years, read that book, because it's all about Al-Qaeda. Okay, the guy, when he wrote the book, it was titled Anonymous because he worked for the CIA. He couldn't give out his name. And read the book. The guy finally came out yesterday, and he resigned and said that, you know, the government isn't taking the debate over al-Qaeda seriously. They're not treating the threat as well as they're supposed to be. And this guy is the top al-Qaeda top guy for the CIA watching al-Qaeda in the United States, and he resigned yesterday. And he's not the first one. I mean, Richard Clark, the guy who replaced Richard Clark, the guy who replaced him, the guy who replaced him, and they all retired for the same reason. And this was 3-4 years ago, and it's still happening, and people, you know, it's like they don't care. It doesn't matter to them. Like the gentleman who called you earlier, the Republican, you know, this is the main problem, and I see Democrats falling into it a lot, which is that the media is constantly framing the argument against Democrats. Okay, over and over during that campaign, you saw every single time Kerry came out and was aggressive against Bush, what's the first thing the media does? Well, he's too aggressive. You shouldn't do that. Meanwhile, including the last week when the explosive story came out, they put every single person who they could on TV to tell you that Kerry shouldn't have gone after Bush for that. He was too aggressive. He was being too negative. Meanwhile, for 4 days in the Republican National Convention, they did everything but call Kerry a war criminal, did everything but call him a girl, did everything but question his patriotism, did everything that they possibly could to demean him. And it was like, wow, what passion. It was incredible. Wow, who could have ever thought they could have been so strong? You know, the exit polls, they keep telling you that the exit polls were wrong because they said Kerry won, so they were wrong. But they use the same exit polls to tell you that the country voted based on morality. Well, which one is it? Are the exit polls right or are they wrong? Because if you're going to say that the majority of the country voted based on morality, well, based on those exit polls, that means that the majority of the country voted for Kerry.
Well, you know, Julio, Dick Morris, who's, I guess, a turncoat on their side, but they can have him. On the afternoon of the election, when he found out that the exit polls were going against Bush, and he broke the story about how Karen Hughes was in telling Bush that he was losing the election and going to lose the election, Dick Morris himself did this.
Right.
Dick Morris said the exit polls, and he's an expert. There's no question about that. He said the exit polls are never wrong. There's something going on here. So they turn around the other way, and all of a sudden the exit polls are no good. Which is it, Dick? We all know the exit polls have usually been right on the money over there. In fact, it brings up something interesting. Germany, you know, I'm for going back to paper ballots and just putting an X marks the spot and putting them in a box the way the Germans do. The Germans do that, and it takes a couple of weeks to get all the votes counted, but they have, you know, they have people there to do it under the watchful eye of each party, and it's done on the up and up. But the people know the same day who won the election because their exit polls are never off more than 0.1%. Just like ours are pretty doggone accurate, too. So, you know, there's no reason why we can't go back to a reasonable way of voting.
Right, and you constantly hear them say, oh, well, you can't make fun of the Christians, you can't call them stupid. You know what? They are stupid. Okay, if you can honestly look at all the facts that are going on in the world right now and believe that this man is steering this country in the correct direction, you are a moron. That is for you, everybody who is listening right now who voted for him. You endorsed the sexual torture in the prison. You endorsed the lies about the war. You endorsed the lies about WMDs. And why? Because he is against abortion and he is against gay marriage, which has absolutely nothing to do with anything that is important in this country. And they use those two issues to get you to vote for a man who is incompetent and for you to tell him that performance does not matter.
All right. All right. Yeah, you're right, Julio. You are.
Take it easy, guys.
Thanks so much for calling. And someone, Dudley Do-Right on Democratic Underground, informs me, to answer the gentleman's question, that Harry Reid is the new minority leader of the Senate, is pro-life. So there you are. There is one. I didn't know that about Harry. In fact, I've met Harry Reid a few times. A wonderful gentleman. I'm not sure he wouldn't like me saying this, but I'm not sure he's the right guy for the minority leader, but I guess he wants the job, so it's going to be his. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show. When we come back, we're going to talk about Texas. And you'll love this. You're listening. I said that, didn't I? You're listening to the Guy James Show, and we'll be right back after these words.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Recycling can make you rich. I'm Chris Whitting with the Success Journal. Jeff hated wasting things. When he met a woman named Martha Morris, he realized she'd found the perfect no-waste business. Martha's little store sold used sports gear. Jeff bought the company and soon opened hundreds of used sporting goods stores, calling the chain Play It Again Sports. Figuring one good idea deserves another, the company bought up similar stores, a kids' used clothing store called Once Upon a Child, even a chain that sells used instruments called Music Go Round. Did old stuff earn Jeff Dahlberg some new money? Well, today, the biz he founded, now called Winmark Corporation, has 800 stores nationwide, all selling hand-me-downs. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
When looking for a quality used vehicle, there are some basic rules to follow. Check the fan clutch, look at the brakes for wear, test the exhaust for leaks, or just find one with a GM-certified used vehicle sticker. Now, well-qualified buyers can get low 2.9% APR financing on select Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC vehicles. Inspected and reconditioned by professionals. Doesn't that sound nice? GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by 11/30/04. See a GM-certified dealer for details or visit GMCertified.com.
Cleaning, chopping, slicing, dicing, decorating, wrapping, mixing, roasting, baking, frosting, setting the table, greeting, carving, serving, stuffing, clearing the table. After all that hustle and bustle, slow down with friends and family around the holiday table this year. Serve them warm, nutty Maxwell House hazelnut or bold Maxwell House French roast, both special enough to make wonderful moments with loved ones last. Try Maxwell House hazelnut and Maxwell House French roast with the exclusive fresh seal. Two great ways to make this holiday season good to the last drop.
Teaching you to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.
I get very upset about all the phony charities out there.
He's Clark Howard.
How do you protect yourself? Well, when you get solicited by phone, don't donate by a phone call. The phonies are going to try in a phone call to get your credit card number out of you. When somebody calls to ask for money, only ask them to send you literature. The phonies are going to hang up at that point.
There's more Clark Howard, weekdays 2 to 4 on Power Talk 1200. You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
You know, I thought it was fitting that someone brought up about money and greed and so forth, about money being a god, and it certainly is to so many people, and you know that, and the love of money is a sin. It most certainly is, and I don't know how many of you saw it, but it struck me as odd that down in Mexico, they built a Walmart right next to those ancient pyramids. I mean, my God, Walmart and the ancient pyramids. I think it's fitting that a Walmart be built next to that ancient pyramid outside Mexico City. And the reason is because people long ago offered human sacrifice on that pyramid to their gods. We've all heard the stories of the sacrifices. And today we offer the workers and customers of Walmart as a sacrifice to our god, who happens to be money to so many people. And what a lousy shame it is. I promise we're going to talk about it. And let me give the phone numbers. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. 479-5540 here locally. And told you we were going to talk about Texas when we came back. And we are. Ellen Goodman in today's Washington Post had a story in about sex education silliness in Texas. And I'll quote some of her here. Here it is, just days after the red states give their presidential seal of approval to the man from Texas, and we've already been treated to another skirmish in the culture wars. The Texas Board of Education has now given its educational seal of approval to what soon may be dubbed red sex ed. And here's a state now where has one of the highest divorce rates in the country, It's a state that has the highest teenage birth rate in the country. Keep that in mind, the highest teenage birth rate in the country. And they're putting their new textbooks in. And the reason I mentioned about the high divorce rate in Texas, because in their new textbooks, they're going to describe marriage as two people, a marriage between a man and woman, defined as a lifelong union between a husband and a wife. This is in the textbooks in Texas now, a state with one of the highest divorce rates that there is. And but coming to the sexual education part of it, Texas has now officially gone to abstinence-only textbooks. This is 2004, and I think they've got their black pointy hats with those white collars and the whole thing on, but they've gone to abstinence-only textbook. The students are learning the ABCs of sex education without the C. And as Texas, the second largest book buyer in the country goes, maybe so goes the nation, they're going to talk abstinence only in Texas. They're not going to give any lessons about how to avoid sexually transmitted disease. They talk about doing this upright, and they can practice abstinence by getting plenty of rest. Now, when I was in high school, I remember they told us to avoid that sort of thing. They told us to get plenty of exercise. Be out exercising, running, jumping, playing basketball, football, and all that, and we wouldn't have our thoughts on that dirty sex. No, we wouldn't. But now they're claiming that the kids in Texas ought to get plenty of rest, and that'll be good for them. But they're not teaching them anything about condoms or anything else. They're just going to teach them abstinence in Texas. And I don't know. Over the past decade, teen pregnancy and births are down about 30%. And as a science at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention showed, about half the decrease in pregnancy comes from abstinence and half from increased contraceptive use. So I don't know. Some of you probably don't think that's a big deal, but I do. Texas pushing abstinence only when they know for a fact that maybe some other lessons ought to be taught along with it. I tell you, some people's moral values truly do disturb me. They truly do. Let's get back to this talk radio deficiency I was talking about a little earlier today. We mentioned that's one of the reasons why we went to Washington to talk about that. And we have been to Washington several times over the past couple of years talking to elected officials, senators and congressmen and so forth, and some of the powers that be in Washington, myself and some other liberal broadcasters, or as most of them call themselves, progressive broadcasters around the country. I'm not going with that label. I still refuse to go that label. I'm a liberal Democrat, not progressive. I may be progressive, but that's not my label. I'm proudly a liberal Democrat, and most of you know that. I think after this election, they're going to have to start taking us serious. Now, they claim they've taken us serious before, but and they've thrown a bone or two toward some people. But Air America alone isn't going to do it. Ed Schultz alone isn't going to do it. Our show isn't going to do it. We need to have a lot of people on the air. And we need to start claiming our rightful place on the airwaves of America. We need to demand it. I'll tell you what we need most of all, though. We need you. I can go to Washington and talk to people all I want to, and it helps. And I can go to station management and talk to them. Probably doesn't help. You are the important ones. You are most definitely are the important ones. We've heard people clamoring and clamoring over and over and over again for more liberal radio, yet what have you done? 1,000 phone calls to a radio station makes a big difference. 1,000 phone calls to a network makes a big difference. They have to know what you want. It's not good enough to call me and tell me what we got to have. It's not good enough to call your brother-in-law and tell him what we got to have. You have to talk to the people that count. And that's why I'm putting the burden on you. The burden needs to be on you because you are the people that want this. I assume you want it because you talk about it all the time. And my friends on the Internet and our local friends here, too, that this is important. And I can talk all day about it, but you ultimately are the folks that will make the difference there. If you make your voices heard loud and long enough to the powers that be in the broadcasting business, you will get your wish. I promise you that. You will. But they have to hear from you. And so far, there hasn't been a huge outcry from the American public that, oh my God, we got to have some liberals on. No, we haven't. It took the Republicans 20-some-odd years to build this deal that they've got going now, and they've been very successful at it. I compliment them on how successful they've been. They have taken over the airways. And, you know, they make a lot of money. They've got a huge presence. And their listeners have responded. They call stations and say, why don't you have Sean Hannity on, you know? But what have the Democrats done? Nothing. Very little. Very little. So do keep that in mind. And I'm putting the onus on you, all of our listeners, both locally here and on the Internet. The responsibility lies, of course, some with me. I've got to do my job. But some of the responsibility rests with you. And not just for our show, but other liberal shows, you have got to call right, do what you can do to make the broadcast powers that be know your wishes. Because after all, there were 54 million Democrats that went to the polls and felt strongly enough about it to go to the polls and vote for their candidate. I should think 54 million Democrats would feel strongly enough about the airwaves and their point of view being on the airwaves and to realize the importance of it, to call management and ownership of radio stations and TV stations around the country and let their feelings be known. Do we agree on that? I think we do. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Guy. How are you?
Great.
I was thinking about that right-wing radio is one of the most anti-Christian things going right now because primarily they talk to the upper middle class and the wealthy, and the basic theme is you are not your brother's keeper. If there's a woman out there with kids, unmarried mother or a divorced mother that's having a hard time, that's her fault. She shouldn't have got divorced. And if somebody else can't make it on two jobs, that's their fault. You don't have to help anybody. It's just you. And if you want to call that Christian values, I can't go along with it.
Oh, you know, Bill, you're so right. I agree. You hear that me all the time from them, and I'm sick of it.
And just look back in our history with the Prohibition. It was not only Prohibition, it was the Prohibition Party that was one of the most bigoted groups, anti-immigrant, anti-Catholic. And we actually had, in the early 1900s, a Prohibition Party governor in Florida, which was a shame. And it was all based on so-called moral values, and I think we need to wake up. Secondly, I want you to compare this last election to what the Germans faced at the end of the Cold War. West Germany had everything, and East Germany had nothing. And the German people made a moral decision, had nothing to do with reproduction rights. It had nothing to do with kicking the homosexuals and keeping them down. It was a moral decision, not imitating a church, but doing what a government does. And not letting West Germany keep everything, the technology, the education, the money, the connections, and to go into debt, not to give a tax cut to the wealthy, go into debt to bring East Germany up to a par with West Germany. And that was one of the greatest moral decisions this world has ever made. We had our chance in this election to get rid of the two Americas, and we decided let's just protect the wealthy, and I think it was a shameful thing.
Well, the wealthy are feeling their oats right now because they know what's about to come. You know, the tax initiatives, all the ones for the wealthy, they're going to make permanent. All the ones that Joe Smith got out here in the heartland, $300 or so forth, those were temporary.
And, Guy, I don't know if you probably don't watch the Pat Robertson's legal team out there. They are very offended about this provisional ballot because they think it's a tool for the trial lawyers to mess up the election. But let's remember, we got the provisional ballot because the Republicans tried to manipulate the 2000 election with that felon list, and the provisional ballots cost millions of dollars to counteract the Republican shenanigans, and now they're going to talk about the provisional ballot being a bad thing. It's just so anti-intellectual.
Oh, it is. And Bill, I think this last election was so much the shell game. They had us looking in one direction when odd things happened in another. I mean, there's so many funny business things that went on this election. I couldn't list them all.
I agree, but probably bad things did happen. Let's don't concentrate on were we defrauded. Let's concentrate on a positive win the next time around, the midterm elections. That's what I'm thinking about.
I agree. We said we were going to take a day off and start hitting the midterm elections, and we've got to do that. We've got to think about the Congress, and we're not that far behind.
And don't let anybody make you be quiet, guy. You keep your voice going, please.
Well, we're going to go for it. We are.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bill. Good to hear from you. Let's go on up to Dan, and by the way, you can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Dan in Fort Myers. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Great.
You were talking about the disparate number of conservative talk shows over liberal talk shows. I've had this discussion with a couple of friends of mine. We've talked about it at length. How is most radio funded? Like TV? I mean, it's advertisers that pay the bills, correct?
It's commercially driven, yes.
Right. So if more people want to listen to conservative talk shows, doesn't that tell you that that's where the advertising dollars come from? And
well, you've got to understand that although it's 51-49 according to this vote, there are 49% of the people out there that don't have a voice on the radio or very little. And they're not given a chance. It's hard for a lot of people to understand, but you have to understand actually how hard it is to break in to this wall of right-wing radio. And I mean it's difficult because they are so successful commercially. Limbaugh's on in the afternoon from noon to 3. It's going to be tough for a lot of stations to let go of him because of the great profits that he does make. I mean, I admit that right up front. And for a newcomer to come along and try and break in there, it's tough. And it's the same way, Hannity's on from, 3 to 6. He's a big moneymaker for them. So is that crazy Neil Bortz and that Ingram. They're big money makers. And if you're running a station and you've got a right-wing bent yourself, it's pretty difficult to say, well, I'll take this profit maker off and give this new guy a chance. It's tough.
Why are they so popular, though?
Well, they say what people want to hear. I mean, they don't deal in facts. They mostly deal in entertainment. They are popular. I mean, the average Republican Joe listens to that show. That's right, Rush. Whatever you say, dittos, because they're mouthing what they want to hear.
Hey, a lot of liberals listen to that, as do a lot of conservatives listen to you.
Well,
myself included.
That's true. There are people that liberals that listen to that. I always listen once in a while. I've always used the old phrase from The Godfather. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. So, always want to hear what's going on the other side of the fence.
I was amazed that Air America didn't take off like a lot of people have anticipated. Now, I'll be right up front with you. I'm a conservative myself. Like I said, I listen to you every weekend, but Air America has just never caught traction.
Well,
which is too bad because frankly, I feel that we need to hear both sides.
They are doing okay. They really are. They're not failing right now. They're growing in stations every week. But like I said, we're 20 years behind. We really are in this liberal radio business. We are 20 years behind, and it's going to take a lot of hard work to catch up. I'm not denying that. It's going to take a lot of hard work, man. And
hey, can I just throw a catch in here? Like I said, I listen to you every weekend, Guy. I think you do a good job. Boy, I go online to some of the liberal websites and boy, the tinfoil hat conspiracy theories are just lends no credibility to your side. None whatsoever.
Well, we've all got tinfoil hat people. I try and stay away from that. And I've made some of my listeners angry this week by not coming out and buying into some of the tinfoil hat things. But I cannot. I cannot. And I think you know that if you listen to my show. I'm searching for whatever's wrong with this election, but someone lay the proof in my hand. Yes, intellectually, I look at some of the things and go, there's something wrong here, but I need the smoking gun. Then
right. We haven't seen one yet, though.
No, we haven't. No,
yeah.
We have not.
Hey, keep up the good work.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. Let's go on up to Joe in Punta Gorda. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Guy.
Yeah.
Hello. Okay, can you hear me, Harry? I'm on a cell phone.
Certainly can.
Listen, I I was just wondering. I want to refer. I'm going to refer the last caller and the one before that. Why couldn't there be a privately funded Democratic, even a Democratic National Committee investigation of the 2004 elections? There's no the money is there, the enthusiasm is there. I'm sure the efforts would be there, volunteerism would be there to investigate the validity of the 2004. There's nothing wrong with investigation. If nothing comes up from a multi-million-dollar investigation, then nothing comes up. But a lot more money has been spent on a lot more superficial things than an investigation of a presidential election.
Well, I think if there's something wrong and people feel passionately about it, they should put their money where their mouth is. I really do. There are enough people that feel there's some things wrong in certain areas. Like, you know, and a lot of it, people have to understand at first blush the way it looks. And I, last week, saw these terrible anomalies up on the coast of Florida and Georgia. The coast, the border is what I meant, where counties were 69% to 77% registered Democrats and went 3-4 to 1 for Bush. But upon further, and that looked terrible, you know, that really looked bad. But upon further review, those counties are truly many, many Dixiecrats up there who are still registered Democrats after all these years, and in the 2000 election voted just about as much for Bush then as they did this time. So,
and that's exactly the reason why Ralph Nader has taken an awful lot of heat from these people. They call him the spoiler, the guy that ruined the election for Mr. Gore, and they are so wrong over that. 97,000 people voted in Florida for Mr. Nader, and that threw the election to Mr. Bush. But 8 million voters defected from the ranks of the Democrats to the ranks of the Republicans.
In
the 2000 election. So, nationally, sure, but you divide that by 50 states, and how many is that? 8 million is what, per state?
Yeah, well, still those 97,000 votes in Florida. I mean, I know how you're looking at it, but
the way I see it is that if I don't think Mr. Bush has much of an education, personally speaking. I've listened to him speak. He doesn't say anything that's profound. He's never written anything. He doesn't read, admittedly, self-admittedly, doesn't read anything. And so when a man like Mr. Gore loses an election to a man as unintellectual as Mr. Bush, as uneducated, and I say that with great enthusiasm, as uneducated as Mr. Bush, he doesn't deserve the election. If he can't take, he should have demolished that guy
it was a lousy campaign, and I'll go on record saying this was a lousy campaign.
Absolutely,
I think Kerry got caught with his pants down so many times. You know, how long did they fiddle faddle around trying to decide what to do about the Swift boat thing? You know, the thing they should have done with the Swift boat thing, they should have come out hard. The very first day that came out, they didn't need to sit and have meetings on what to do about that. John Kerry should have been out in front of that, come out and just blasted their hind end over that. But instead, they sit back and treated him with kid gloves for a while and let that thing take hold. That was a terrible mistake.
You remember when Kerry said, gee, I don't want to use the word liar. That's a kind of a harsh word to use.
Yeah, well.
They got no spine. They've got no guts. They've got no nothing. They don't have any cojones.
Liar was the word. He should have just, and I've said it before. I said while that was going on, I told some friends of mine I would put all my I put all my political bets right up front, right there, and run screaming liar, liar, liar as loud
Absolutely.
As I could.
There's no question about it, and there's no reason for it not to happen except the Democrats are afraid to take these people on intellectually. They can do it if they develop an argument.
Yeah, and they're also afraid that they don't want to look bad. They don't want to look bad.
I would contribute money to an investigation. If Dean was to head an investigative internet request, I would definitely get involved in it because I think it's necessary.
We've got nothing to lose.
No, absolutely.
Nothing to lose, and even if they don't find anything that would change the election, it certainly would help in the future elections to make things better.
Absolutely. It would throw up a lot of, it would build a hell of a lot of guards.
Yeah.
A lot of, anyway.
Hey, Joe, got to go. We got news at the top of the hour.
Thanks,
thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
You're listening to The Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida, and we'll be back after the news.
Democrat and proud of it. Guy James.
Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
A hospital visit for the vice president. I'm Joan Bennett. Taking no chances after he experienced shortness of breath, Vice President Dick Cheney went to George Washington University Hospital today for tests. An aide said tests showed no abnormalities with his heart, and the vice president left the hospital during the past hour. Dr. Randy Chitwood with the American College of Cardiology.
You always want to rule out the things that are can be major. So you always do this, and especially in patients over 50 years old, even if they haven't had any previous antecedent history of coronary disease.
Cheney, who's 63, has had four heart attacks, the last one in 2000. He returned Thursday night from a pheasant hunting trip in South Dakota with a bad cold that left him short of breath. Still mopping up in Fallujah, though U.S. officers say the main assault on militants in the Iraqi city is over. Many insurgents have been captured or killed, but Iraqi officials say terror mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi escaped. Interim Prime Minister Ayad Alawi.
Once we get the Fallujah out of the way, I think this would be a big milestone forward.
Since Monday, U.S. officials say 24 Americans have been killed in the fight for Fallujah. The next step for Scott Peterson after his murder conviction yesterday in California, the penalty phase, ADC's Taina Hernandez in Redwood City.
The fact that Scott Peterson has never been accused or convicted of any previous crime in this case will weigh in his favor. Certainly the nature of the crime he has been convicted of is very severe, so the jury will have a tough decision ahead. They will decide whether Peterson will get life without parole or the death penalty.
Scott Peterson convicted of murdering his pregnant wife, Lacey, and killing her unborn son. A New Hampshire woman and her boyfriend have been accused of plotting to sacrifice the woman's three children on a church altar. The kids were unharmed. The mom told police she was following Jesus' example of sacrificing the boys to free her soul. This is ABC News.
With over 18,000 car accidents every day, you need to be prepared.
Are you okay?
It could happen to you.
You okay? Yeah, I think so.
That's why quality car insurance is important. You want to be well protected, and you want a good price. People who switched to Allstate saved an average of $278 a year. That may surprise people who thought Allstate was expensive.
Call 1-866-ALLSTATE to see how much their knowledge and experience can help you save. You don't have to wait for your current policy to expire. Call 1-866-ALLSTATE and start saving now.
Quality car insurance should be affordable. That's Allstate's stand. Are you in good hands?
Savings based on information reported by 4,103 new customers who purchased from an Allstate Customer Information Center. Actual savings will vary. Insurance subject to availability and qualifications. Allstate Insurance Company, Allstate Indemnity Company, and Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Jeff Corwin from Animal Planet and the Discovery Networks. Do you know why we have the Dolphin Safe label on tuna cans? You see, years ago, Americans learned that the tuna they ate was caught in a way that was killing tens of thousands of dolphins. Of course, Americans demanded action, and the U.S. government responded by banning the sale of this tuna. The Dolphin Safe label was put on tuna cans to help consumers make the right choice, and dolphin deaths dropped by an incredible 90%. But despite public support for this very important program, proposed changes by the U.S. government would allow dolphin deadly tuna to be imported and sold under the Dolphin Safe label. But it's not safe, and tens of thousands of dolphins could be killed. We know the Dolphin Safe tuna program works. Let's not turn back the clock now. Visit SaveDolphins.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Lila Jaber with the Florida PSC. I want you to know about two programs that can help make phone service affordable for all Floridians: Lifeline Assistance and LinkUp Florida. If you already qualify for certain public assistance benefits, Lifeline can save you up to $11.35 on your monthly phone bill, and LinkUp can reduce your initial hookup fee by up to $30. For a free brochure, call us at 1-800-342-3552 or visit our website at floridapsc.com.
God bless America.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James live and in person. The Guy James with you. So glad to have you along with us. You know, I'd like to thank a couple of people that help out with the program, that have so generously donated to our program to help keep us on the air. Gina Gilbert, Pollock, David Birch, and Gretchen Adams, Robert Blankenship, Lawrence Nader, Elena Labar, Helen Poker. Helen, thank you so much. You're a doll. Robert Wood, Vicki Sandak, Marie Nelson, Robert DeVale, J.D. Marl, Linda Davis, Jeff Mattson, Joe Hinckley, Susan O'Donnell, Paul Johnson, Jeffrey Hales. Wonderful people help keep this show in the air. Also, so glad to have you along with us. And, of course, Virginia Miller and Elaine Miller from Newton, Iowa. David Goggin of Eureka, California. Chris Kern, William Sherrill, Vince D'Amici, Patrick Sullivan, O'Sullivan, pardon me, Elizabeth Harlow, Barbara Presnell, Eric Peterson. And Eric, I got to tell you, I was just getting to Eric's name when my studio supervisor here, I'll call her the studio supervisor. Actually, she's my wife. She's here today in the studio. You see, I was gone for a few days, and she just had to come in the studio to see me before I go home. You know what I'm talking about. So, anyway, just as I got to Eric Peterson's name, she hands me this paper with the words maple syrup on it. Eric, Eric is from Vermont. And Eric's a rock star. And Eric sent all of our staff, each one of us, a container of the real deal Vermont maple syrup. Now, you folks can go out and buy all the Aunt Jemima you want to and maple syrup out of the stores, but this is the real stuff, the 100% real maple syrup. You see, when I was a young man, I helped do that myself, helped gather syrup up in Ohio from the sugar maple trees and boil it down and everything. So this means something to me. And I was out of town when the package came, I think, on Thursday. And so we'll be delighted to eat some warm pancakes with that on any time now. Eric, thank you. Very, very, very thoughtful of you. Preston Enright, Larry and Judy Galinsky, Ryan Veith, Bill Beaumont, William Sherrill up in New York, Syracuse, Dale Danford, Luciano Your City, Mr. and Mrs. Arne Arneson, Gene Legg from Valley City, North Dakota. You know, I've been in Valley City, North Dakota. You didn't know that, did you? Mr. and Mrs. Tom Sir, Robert and Donna Wood, the Welshels of Moultrie, Georgia, the Collier County Democratic Club, John and Maggie Dowling of Sanibel Island, Florida. I want to thank all those folks for helping keep this program on the air. You know, as I've mentioned many, many times, when we first started this program for the first few months, and I think of my former cohort and lifelong friend from now on, Michael, who was with me for a while on the program, still miss his brain. God, what a smart guy. Anyway, he doesn't like me to say that. But it's true. Don't know that I ever knew anybody as smart as Michael. But they came on the air, and the righties did, and told us that they would get us off the air by any means necessary. Well, they've tried a lot of different means, and they haven't made it, and you folks have helped us stay on the air for this time. So I do want you to know that I do appreciate that. I really do. Let's go to Gene in Naples. Gene, glad to have you along with us.
Hey, Guy. You know, a lot of people tell me they've been missing my brain, too. I wonder if that's catching somehow. I just wanted to call and talk to your Collier County listeners for just a moment and remind all good Democrats in Collier County that our next Collier County Democratic Club meeting is coming up.
Pick up a little more if you can, Gene. We got a slow line going here.
You bet. Collier County Democrat Club meeting Monday night at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club, 6 o'clock. We're going to have, we expect a couple of hundred Democrats to show up, and I want everybody to know that we're certainly not done here. We're regrouping, rethinking, making plans now. We're down but not out. And a couple of things I wanted to congratulate the club on, Guy. You know, we all, including you, worked awfully hard for the last year or so. I don't want them to think that that work is wasted. And there's a couple of things I want your listeners to know, especially those Collier County listeners. Two statistics here that really pop up, and I think we can take great pride in. Number one, there was an incredible, and this is a true number, you can research it any way you want to with the Supervisor of Elections, there was a 46.2% increase in the number of votes cast for our presidential candidate this year over the 2000 election. We ranked third out of 67 counties in Florida with 106% of the registered Democrats voting for Senator Kerry. Of course, the way that's calculated is based on the number of independents. We did our job in Southwest Florida thanks to the Guy James Show. I think a lot of counties in Southwest Florida outperformed what they had done in the 2000 election. I know Lee County, our close neighbor here, same thing. And again, those are areas that the Guy James Show influences, and it's just not just a coincidence. And I think it was a year's hard work, the last couple of years that you put in, the influence that the show has had on Democrats and independents throughout Southwest Florida has caused these numbers to performance increase in Southwest. What left-wing radio can do as opposed to white right-wing radio. I know you just got back from Washington, but these are numbers that prove the point, Guy. I hope you let those folks know what kind of a difference you made in Southwest Florida.
Well, we tried to. We certainly did.
I honestly think that, you know, we all work hard in campaigns, but if we can balance the media and take that 100-and-something hours of right-wing radio in Southwest Florida and give half of that over to the left where it's a balanced playing field, we'll kick some butt in this part of the country just like we just did. You just give us all we ask for is an equal shot, and I think it's coming in the future. You keep up the good work. Hang in there, and all good Democrats will see you Monday night, 6 o'clock, in Naples with Naples Bath and Tennis Club.
Thank you, Gene. Good to hear from you. A good Democrat indeed. And now, let's go to the exalted New York Bureau. Jeff, are you with us?
I'm with you, Guy.
Hey, good to have you along today.
What's wrong with you today?
Why?
You've been on for nearly over 2 hours, and you have not discussed the Scott Peterson verdict for a minute. you're going to lose listeners.
Oh, my God. I said there's two things I'd never talk about on this show. One of them was that, and the other one was that basketball player who was in trouble. I can't remember. Kobe Bryant, I'm told.
Yes.
Yeah,
no.
So I haven't, but see, you got your licks in. No. Can somebody explain that to me? Jeff, you got any idea? Why does that happen? Why does that phenomenon take place? God knows, a terrible murder like that's an awful thing.
Yeah, but it's a local story.
It's what it is.
Cable needs gore and horror and stir up the emotions and distract you.
We had gore and horror right during the election.
Well, we have gore and horror going on in Fallujah.
Yeah, we certainly do.
For three solid hours on CNN, I had it muted, mind you, but for three solid hours yesterday, they was nothing but the Peterson trial and shots of the crowd and shots of the commentators wetting themselves. It was just sickening.
Who knows?
At the same time, you know, there are, you know, civilians rotting in the streets of Fallujah, and who knows how many. I think the number is what, 20-something or 40-something as far as are dead and the wounded, and you're never going to get it. And I was like, you know, what's going to be the next circus that they drag out to keep you? That it's like, again, well, you know, we saw what happened this you know, with this election, again, something I've talked about, you know, for more than had won. The Republican trifecta of hate, fear, and ignorance worked.
Jeff, I promised somebody I would ask you a question this week.
Okay.
Since you are the New York Bureau, what's the deal with the Rudy Giuliani thing? What is the deal? How has Rudy Giuliani been put up on a pedestal with the Republican Party now? Everybody's talking about Rudy Giuliani. You, as a New Yorker, please explain this to me.
Well, I mean, he was, you know, like within hours of being off the scene completely.
Yes.
The election was that day, or the primaries were that day. He was at the end of his career and not all that distinguished. But because he was turned into the 9/11 hero, and because Bushco embraced 9/11, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, only the Bush administration benefited from 9/11. They're the only ones that benefited, that actually, you know, even to the point of turning a profit. But he just became, you know, this icon, and he was a Republican, so they embraced him. But, of course, it's if you know Giuliani's story, you go, but this guy is, you know, I mean, this guy, you know, exposed his affair, had his mistress living in the mayor's mansion, was living with a gay couple, was for gay rights. It's like he's antithetical to what the Republican Party is preaching to their base. That's why, again, one of the points I'd like to make about, you know, this whole election is that there are really two kinds of election fraud that went on. We're not sure the extent of the fraud in terms of the machines and the counting and the voter suppression and all of that. I'm still not 100% convinced we're going to find enough provable fraud to reverse that. I think that's very slight. We might find enough to taint this election like the other one was tainted. But the other voter fraud is that the Republicans presented a candidate to this, you know, red state base, this conservative, this evangelical base, that was a total fraud.
Yeah.
A total fraud. That Bush is not going to do anything on the agenda that they, I mean, he can talk about his gay marriage amendment, you know, only because he knows it has absolutely no chance of passing.
Well, you're right.
He can talk about being pro-life and, you know, an anti, you know, and against abortion, only because he knows it's not going to pass. He can't do it. So he's just tossing this, he's tossing more lies out, just tossing the lies out. They bought it, and, you know, they voted against their own interest, against their children, against their children's children, because he's a man of God and is going to protect them. I don't see the record there.
I saw an economist talking yesterday, talking about the future and proposed deficits for the next 10 years that are going to happen, about the trillions of dollars, and absolutely proclaimed in no uncertain terms that he felt sorry for his kids, because he said his kids and your kids and all the kids are going to be paying double the taxes we're paying now just to keep the government's head above water. Double.
And yet Bushco is able to use the $87 billion vote to help defeat Kerry. When Kerry's entire point was, you pay for it, don't ask the kids to pay for it.
Right.
But he voted against taking care of our troops in the field. It's like, well, you didn't give them the equipment to start with. You still haven't given it to them.
You know, Jeff, since this election was so close, and you and I and most of our listeners are intelligent enough to know what Kerry meant when he said, I actually voted for the $87 billion amendment before I voted against it. We all know what he meant by that, because we will understand the nuance of political discussion. The other side doesn't. But perhaps the way he worded that, since this election was so close, that statement might have drastically altered the course of history in this country.
That statement pulled out of context and without being placed in the larger context.
Yep.
But again, you've got Rove. He's a master of
absolutely
taking this soundbite and hammering until, you know, that's how they do it.
Rove admitted. He said that was political gold. That was just, he couldn't believe his luck when he heard that. You know?
I said again, it falls back to the trifecta point: hate, fear, and ignorance.
Yeah.
Hate this man.
Sure.
And that goes for the gay marriage issue, the abortion issue, the economy, the war on terror, please.
Well, did you hear the opening of the show today?
Of course.
You know, I talked about those people that are very worried about armies of gay people in very smart uniforms, I might mention, with their AKs.
Trust me, some of them are sloths.
You're too good. Take it over. I mean, they're going to take over the sight of two men who have a relationship holding hands walking down the street is more offensive to these people than seeing children slaughtered in the streets of Iraq. It's more offensive to those people to see that than it is to see kids getting killed in Iraq. Go figure.
I was hopeful. I really believed that the election was going to go our way.
I did too.
I had jittery friends. I said, look, I'm the one that's on the internet all day. I'm checking the stories. I'm checking the voter turnout. I'm checking the early exit polls. Everything is looking good. Don't freak out. And then I sat here and just got ill. I just I went to bed at 3 o'clock that morning in a state of how the.
I know. We were watching it. We were on a cruise ship last week. We voted early, and we were going by Cuba. And as I've told people, I thought about jumping overboard, and I figured Castro would get a hold of me, And
I was so looking forward to, leaving the writing of political humor aside. Take up decoupage, knitting.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough with the parody lyrics. Enough with the anger. And now I got to do 4 more years of this crap?
Yes, sir.
God.
Yes, you do.
So in that vein,
Jeff.
Now you know that when Bush said he wanted the nation to heal, you do understand that when they reported it, they spelled it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. He wanted to heal like a dog does. That's
absolutely.
What he wants the nation to do.
He
you bet. He doesn't want any healing. Come on. Yeah.
He wants to reach out to people who agree with him.
Yeah, that's what somebody said on DU last week. Anybody that reaches across the aisle with this gang come back with a bloody stump. That's just exactly the way it works. Jeff, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Take care.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Always good to hear from the New York Bureau. Going to go to another Jeff right now. And by the way, you can call us. We got a couple lines open, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here locally, or 263-6570 for any of you rich folks down in Collier County. I always have fun with them. There's a lot of wealth in Collier County. Jeff in Pennsylvania. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Guy. Good to talk to you again. Before I get to my major point, I want to say a shout-out to Amanda. And it's always good to know that the vet wife is out there fighting a good fight.
Well, if we had more people in this country that cared more about the veterans, and particularly some of our right-wing friends that cared less about war and more about taking care of the veterans we've gotten and the maimed and hurt that are coming home right now, this country would be an awful lot better off.
You're absolutely right. But to get to my main point, previous caller had brought up the subject of Air America Radio, and basically said that they were not really doing a good job in promoting the liberal voice in America. And to counteract that, I would have to say that Rush Limbaugh, being the primary voice of the right wing, spent at least 10 years building up any sort of network of distribution that promoted that philosophy. And in the first 6 months that Air America was in existence, they had established about 35 stations, air stations, that were distributing the voice and built an internet listening network that approached 4 million people. So
Now, they're doing a good job, and like I said, you know, I think we probably got to that with him. It takes time, and it's tough. It's not, you know, you don't walk right into a radio station program director and say, here's a show I want to be on in prime time. I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
Absolutely not. And I know you've been doing a good fight down there in Florida, and Randy Rhodes has been exceptional, and Mike Beloy, and there are so many out there that are getting their voice out there, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of support from the people that actually listen to make it grow.
Yep, it sure does. It really does. Hey, it's so good to hear from you, Jeff.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for calling. Where are we going to go next? I know where we're going to go next. We're going to go to Don in North Fort Myers.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
And thanks very much. It's the first time I've listened to your show, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, thank you.
I have a couple of comments, actually, and then a question for you. As far as when we, as Democrats or as, quote, liberals, try to educate your people. It's one thing to call a show like yours, where this is more like Mother Earth for us. We're our base, but it really doesn't do any good to reach the people that we need to reach down the road. I mean, Karl Rove spent $110 million defining Kerry before the election ever got really going. My point is, how do we call the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Beck's, the Neil Borsch's, how do we reach and get through and on the air to those people so we can actually have a conversation?
You can't. You never will. You'd have to lie to them. And if you did lie to them, they would immediately say you were lying to get on the air and then cut you off. You will never, ever get to make a good point. I shouldn't say that. I've seen it happen a couple of times. I've heard it happen. But,
cut off pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, the screeners just aren't going to. I do know something about this, and we don't screen the calls. People call, we put them on in the order that they've called. I do know something about this though, and the screeners, that's a job that these big syndicated guys. They've got a regular call screener that gets paid a fair amount of money to do this, and when a liberal calls, when the right liberal calls Rush Limbaugh, they'll put him on all right, because the screener has determined that caller can be easily overmatched. They'll talk to him for a while, find out what he wants to talk about, and if he doesn't come across as very eloquent or very straightforward with what he wants to talk about, they'll throw him to the wolves, and that's what happens.
I understand.
Yeah.
The other thing that I believe that we have to do is to some way we have to determine how to define ourselves rather than the Republicans define us as, quote, liberals. We have to come up with a different term and use it very often.
Well, yeah, that's true. They've done a good job of souring our name, and I'm proud of what I am. I'm proud that I'm a liberal Democrat. But you're right, and they're overwhelming and overmatching us, and the media has done that for them. They have demonized the name liberal, and I don't know how to get out from under it. I thought, well, I'll get out from under it because I'm just going to be one that says, by God, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I'm going to proclaim that no matter what happens. But you make a point. You do. They've demonized our name, and they've been successful. They've been smarter than we have for the past 20 years. I have to say that, except for when Clinton came along. Don, thanks so much for your call. Good to hear from you. Let's go on up to Marco in Naples. Hi, Marco.
Hello, Guy. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I just want to say I'm a Republican. My wife is a Democrat. In fact, I'm agreeing with everything that she's saying today that Democrats agree with, because she's going to make me two loaves of fresh bread in the morning.
I'm sorry, you got to speak up just a little bit.
I was telling you that I'm a Republican and my wife is a Democrat, and I'm agreeing with her today because she said she would make me fresh bread in the morning if I would agree, and I agree. It's got that local flavor. you're lucky enough to be on the internet where other people can call. And it reminds me very much about 25 years ago before we moved to Naples when we lived in Peninsula, Ohio. We would listen to the regular local talk shows. We'd keep the TV off. This is before children. And we loved it. It's a quaint time for us both to share. And all afternoon we've been sitting in our living room here in Naples enjoying your show. So you've got Democrats, you've got Republicans listening to you and enjoying your show tremendously, I think.
I have to ask you a question, Marco. Sure. I thought I knew where every town and village and hamlet in Ohio was. Where is Peninsula, Ohio?
Peninsula is down in the valley. If you, do you know where Hudson, Ohio is?
Yes.
Okay, Hudson, Ohio. Okay, all you do is go west about 5-6 miles out of Hudson. It goes down at the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, and that's beautiful peninsula down there.
Okay.
Right down in the valley.
Okay. I can't believe I didn't know that. I thought I knew because of my own sports affiliations and everything. I thought I had known every hamlet in Ohio, but I...
Jay, let me ask you this. I grew up in a little town called Powell, Ohio. Do you know where that
was? Oh, I sure do. Oh, used to go to the races there when I was a kid.
Oh, I loved Powell. I grew up there late 50s. Early 60s when it was a town of 320 people.
Well, you've seen it lately, I assume.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Well, where are you from in Ohio originally?
I'm from Northwest Ohio.
Oh, Northwest, wonderful. Well, a guy, I just want to tell you that I'm so glad your show is on. As I say, I'm a inveterate Republican. My wife is totally the opposite, but we love sitting down. We love Saturday afternoons with your show. It means a lot to us, and I hope your show goes on and on.
Thanks so much, Marco.
My pleasure.
Great to hear from you, and thank you for the kind words. I think we're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show, and we're going to be right back after these words, so don't you go anywhere.
The Guy James Show.
Son, you're a young man now. I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about, well, about men and women.
I know all about that stuff.
You might know a little biology, but do you know how to treat a woman?
How do I treat a woman, Dad?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to figure it out for yourself.
How?
Well, first I suggest you watch a lot of bad TV and violent movies and observe how women get treated there.
Okay, I'm kind of doing that already. What else?
Well, be sure to take careful note of what irresponsible older boys say at school.
I sure will.
Sometimes the only message boys get is the wrong one. By teaching boys early that violence against women is wrong, you can help prevent domestic violence. For tips on what to say, visit www.endabuse.org. End abuse. Teach early. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council and the Family Violence Prevention Fund.
In Florida, call 1-800-500-1119. Brought to you locally by the Florida Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
And coming up in the next news break, perhaps the single most important thing you can do to help your child learn when back in school. Hey, better yet, we'll tell you right now. The better your child can see in school, the easier your child can learn in school. Vision screenings are good, but they can't detect many vision problems that interfere with learning. So make sure your child has a comprehensive eye exam for back in school.
A message from the American Optometric Association.
Only two games left in the regular season for the boys of Florida. And the Gators will look to close it out on a high note, beginning this Saturday when they host the South Carolina Gamecocks at Ben Hill Griffin with a kickoff at 7 o'clock. It's a big SEC matchup in primetime, and it's only on Power Talk 1200 WPTK.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WPTK. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
And we are back with you. Biz, you got your microphone on? Biz, why don't you turn your microphone on? I don't know if she even knows where her microphone is right now. She's going to get it sooner or later. She'll get it in just a minute. I have to ask her something. Just not prepared. You got your mic on now, Biz? Do you? No?
There we go.
There you go. See, now you got to be prepared, because you never know what's going to come. You know, Eric from Vermont
Yeah.
sent us all some maple syrup. And have you ever had real maple syrup?
I can't say that I have.
It's 100%. So
I've had a deprived childhood, I must say.
Yeah, so if you get that Aunt Jemima stuff or anything, most of it is phony, or it's got a little bit of maple syrup and phony stuff in. So when you get your canister of Vermont maple syrup, watch yourself.
I will be eating pancakes all week long.
Warm it up a little. Just warm it up a little and put it on there, and those pancakes will never have tasted so good. So that's from our friend Eric up in Vermont.
Well appreciated.
Yes, indeed. And I don't know if he's going to send us Christmas trees next or what. Thank you, Eric. We want you to know the whole staff here is very thankful for the maple syrup. Let's go on over to Naples and talk to Wesley. Hi, Wes.
Hey, Mr. James.
Howdy. What's on your mind today?
Unfortunately, I got bad timing. I'm in the same position as the last caller. Went to bed at 12 o'clock at night. Next morning, I woke up, and my girlfriend said, Gary won. And I'm a staunch conservative, and I didn't react to it at all. Just, you know, in the last, as long as I've been alive for 39 years, not a whole lot has changed. A whole lot has changed, but I'm still able to park my car in my driveway. And I'm glad you're on the air, and I wish there was like 20 different shows on your side of things. Not trying to kiss up to you, but, you know, it's not all that bad. We've got a great country. We're doing a lot of wrong things. I disagree with a lot of things that Bush is doing. But, you know, you kind of, somehow, there's got to be pots and pans being brought to, in my opinion, to melt down and fight off what we're doing. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I've heard you guys for over and over and over and again. I don't know. What do you think? I'd love to galvanize the country in one phone call. It's not going to happen. It will happen.
Well, you know, Wesley, you know, it's refreshing to hear a Republican call me and say I don't agree with everything Bush has done, and as just as I didn't agree with everything Clinton did.
Yeah.
So certainly not. And, you know, it's the folks on both ends of that mm-hmm. that drive me a little batty. If you just going to be a sheep and go along with everything the guy in office says, there's really something wrong with you because you couldn't possibly agree 100%. But yet, on the Democratic side and the Republican side, there are people who will tell you, well, my man can't do anything wrong. And I tire of hearing about that. I really do.
Yes.
You know, there was a time. You say you're 39?
I'm 39. My father was a World War II veteran.
Well, my father was a World War II veteran as well. And
I would love that to happen to the country again, but...
Well, you know, I always like to tell people the story about the 1960 election.
Uh-huh.
When, and maybe I think I've told my listeners this, but we were passionate for Kennedy, and we lived out in the farm country, and our next-door neighbor, his name was Fred. Fred was a big Nixon man.
Uh-huh.
And he and my dad went back and forth and back and forth all the time, just razzing each other to death over this election. And they bet a bottle of whiskey, a good sipping whiskey on it.
Sure.
Neither one of them were big drinkers, but they thought that was appropriate.
Sure.
And they bet this bottle of whiskey, and along came the election. And it was, I don't know, seems to me, my memory tells me it was around 4 in the morning or so when we finally looked like Kennedy was going to win. So my dad woke up my little brother, and I was already awake, and I was into it because I'd worked hard for Kennedy. And we got to just walk down the road. It was only about maybe 300-400 yards down to Fred's house, and walked up through his barnyard, knocked on his back door, and he was up.
And this is 4 in the morning?
Yeah. And he was up, knocked on his door, and said, Fred. My dad said, Fred, I'm here to get my whiskey. And Fred says, yeah, Jim, come on in. So walked in the house, and those two sat there and had a drink. And as we left, there were no harsh words. And Fred said, well, Jim, I hope to my father, I hope things go well. And it was a fun election, and let's hope that Kennedy does the best for America. Wouldn't it be nice if it could be that way again?
I would love that.
I would too.
I'd love to battle you with words and have it staunch and not have anybody be upset because we've got a great country. Like I said, my girlfriend woke me up, said, Carry one, and I just said, okay. It's not like my neighbor was going to come down the street can take the Cadillac, the Vega, or any other car out of the driveway, all of a sudden tomorrow they're going to take the cars away, they're going to take the house away.
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree with you totally, and I love that you're on the air. And I hope somehow that you get more Democrats on the air.
Well, it'd be fun to just
reasonable.
It'd be fun to even things up a little bit. Wes, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Yep.
It's good to hear from people like Wes. You know, there are a lot of reasonable people in this world, and I suppose at times I sound unreasonable. I am passionate about what we do here. I think it was... I'm trying to think right now. Well, no, it was Paul Wellstone. Paul Wellstone so aptly said that the future belongs to the passionate. And I couldn't agree more over that. I really couldn't. I am a passionate person about many things. I'm passionate about my wife, and I'm passionate about my life, and I'm passionate about many things. My music. I'm big into music. I'm very passionate about things, and I think you need to be. I don't think you need to go overboard, but it's great to be passionate about some things in life, and it's great to be passionate about politics, and it's because if you're truly passionate about the politics, then you're a patriot. I don't enjoy politics as a contact sport. I really don't. I don't care about a person being right and wrong and being on the winning side. I mean, hey, I'm on the losing side right now. I don't like it. I don't like it, but I don't. It's not that I don't like it because I'm. You know, the other side says, we won, we won, we won. That doesn't have anything to do with it as far as I'm concerned. It's what happens now for the next 4 years. We'll see who won. We will definitely see who won in the next 4 years. I don't have any faith at all in George W. Bush. I don't make any apology for that. You know, that's very well known. I have no love for the man. I don't have any respect for the man. I don't have any respect for anything he's ever done. I don't think he's ever proved himself as a man, a patriot, or a president. Now, that's just my opinion. Do I wish him ill will or anything like that? Most certainly not. But I don't agree with anything. I don't agree with the way he's conducted his life, his business, or his presidency. But I love this country, and I hope for the best for this country, and it's just that I don't think he's going to provide for the best of this country. He's proven to us over the last 4 years that he is not capable of providing what's best for this country. He's gone off pretty doggone half-cocked on some things, and I think some people realize it and some don't. I don't know. Hey, we've got some lines open. You can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, 04. You can hear me wax poetic about this last election. And we'll be back right after these words.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
Dear Beth, I have so much to say to you, and this seems the only way to do it. Maybe you can check your email from heaven. You probably don't remember me, but my name is Stacy. I was behind you the other night, and I stopped when I saw the smoke. At first I couldn't move, but then I found a strength I didn't know I had. I reached into the broken window, touched your wrist, and found a faint pulse. You weren't breathing. As I touched your neck, your head moved, and you gasped softly for air. Thank God, I thought. She's alive. There's a chance. I was holding your head in my hands and softly stroking your hair, and had a million things spinning in my head. God, she's just a young girl, I thought. You opened your eyes for merely moments. I'm here with you. I'm not leaving you. Help is on the way. Then your eyes closed. Come on, fight, I said, and I knew you were trying.
But Beth Hoimy did not survive her encounter with a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness can all be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk. But a simple blood test can detect the problem, and with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
You've heard the right. Now, all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
You betcha, baby. All that's left is the truth. That's what you get on this program, whether you like it or not. You get the cold, hard truth there, and sometimes it is cold and hard to get the truth. But, you know, somebody sent me on the Democratic Underground, sent me this list of, well, guy that's famous on there for his stats and all. He's known as Truth Is All, you know. You all know who he is if you're on the Internet much on Democratic Underground. And he said, to believe that Bush won the election, you must also believe. And then he listed several items here. And there I go. I got the other page. He listed 13 items. And I just want to go through them because some of you didn't get a chance to read this and found this interesting. To believe that Bush won the election, you must also believe that the exit polls were wrong, that Zogby's 5 p.m. election day calls for Kerry winning Ohio and Florida were wrong, and remember that he was exactly right in his 2000 final poll, that you must believe that Harris' last-minute polling for Kerry was wrong, and he, too, was exactly right in his 2000 final poll. You must believe that the incumbent rule, rule number one, that undecided to break for the challenger was wrong. Never been wrong before. You must believe the 50% rule was wrong, that the incumbent doesn't do better than his final polling, and Bush did. You must believe that the approval rating rule was wrong, and that was that an incumbent with less than 50% approval will most likely lose the election. You must believe that Greg Palast was wrong when he said that even before the election, a million votes were stolen from Kerry. He was the only reporter to break the fact that 90,000 Florida blacks were disenfranchised in 2000. You must believe that it was just a coincidence that the exit polls were correct where there was no, where, and here's the one that really, as they say in those circles, frost my gourd. Where did that saying come from? I don't know. This is the one that really gets me. You must believe that it was just a coincidence that the exit polls were correct where there was a paper trail and incorrect where there was no paper trail. That one bothers me a lot. You must believe that the surge in new young voters had no positive effect for Kerry, and we now know that it did. You must believe that Bush beat 99-1 mathematical odds in winning the election because of all the above. You must believe that Kerry did worse than Gore against an opponent who lost the support of scores of Republican newspapers, and you all know how many newspapers defected Bush this year. You must believe that Bush did better than 18 national poll average, which showed him tied with Kerry at 47. In other words, Bush got 80% of the undecided vote and ended up with a 51-48 majority when all professional pollsters agree that the undecided vote always goes to the challenger. So I think if you study those points, and those were so well made by this gentleman on the Democratic Underground, if you read that and you understand what he's talking about there, you'll know why some of us feel that something had to go wrong. Something is terribly wrong, but again, no smoking gun. Don in Cape Coral. Don, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Guy. I finally got through, and how happy I am. You're doing such a wonderful job. I've listened to you for several months now, and I'm glad I found you, and I know you're from Ohio, and I wonder if you ever heard of Brecksville.
Of course.
Well, okay, that's my home. It's that person that just called from Peninsula brought back memory.
Just had to drive through Brecksville going up Route 71 up to see the Cleveland Indians play.
Yes, sir, you got it.
They always had that big sign for, was it Brecksville or Strongsville that had that big sign for, what was it, Goodyear or Firestone? Or, you know?
Yeah, you're talking about Old 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's near Independence there.
Yeah.
Well, good. And by the way, Ohio makes some great maple syrup, and I just visited my daughter in Michigan, and I found some real Michigan maple syrup. That's great, too.
Well, Don, now there's where we got to part ways. Don't be using any maple syrup from Michigan.
Okay. Well,
I'm a devout Buckeye fan. And you know, I just it just would be against my principles to use any maple syrup from up north.
I hear what you're saying. It's almost as good as Vermont, though. By the way, what you were saying earlier about being proud of being a Democrat and a liberal Democrat, and I felt the same way. And you remember when Dukakis was running and how the senior Bush made so much fun of him a card-carrying member of the ACLU.
Oh, yeah.
I thought then, and I still do not, so I'd really be proud to be a member of the ACLU. I don't agree with everything they do. I don't agree with everything that anybody does. But I just don't. But I like a lot of what they do.
Well, you know, Rush Limbaugh is a big believer in the ACLU now that they wanted to help him out of his mess.
Well, he should be.
Yeah.
I don't care that they did that either, because that's the way they are.
They're fair.
And you bet. And I like your thoughts about being proud of being a Democrat. What I really wanted to talk about was how others on the right, especially like CNN and such, if you listen carefully, they love to denigrate the liberal left of the Democratic Party, and they do it in a lot, sometimes sneaky ways. They did it to Dean, who, by the way, was my first choice, I don't mind saying. I still like him. And Dean said the other day that, sure, the Democrats can make changes. I believe they should. Because as long as they don't go too to the center, and I agree with him, we should stand on our principles, and it is not going backwards to be liberal. It is going forward to be liberal. It's going, the Republicans and the right wing, the conservatives have taken us back to the 1840s, I'd say, or 1850s, in the times of McKinley.
There would be no progress in this country were it left up to these conservatives.
Yes, sir, I sure agree with you. The pendulum, you know, always swings back and forth. I have this deep feeling that it's gone about as far to the right as it's going to go, and it's time for it to start swinging back to the left. And I'm looking forward to seeing that happen. I really encourage you to keep up what you're doing. I was a Democratic watcher here in Lee County and at the polls, and I worked in my precinct 20, not as much as I like, because I work. I make ice cream for a living. And
what kind of ice cream?
Brewster's ice cream. We're in Cape Coral. I love it. It's originally from Pennsylvania, but
that's okay. You can have Pennsylvania ice cream.
I've been in the ice cream business with a number of ice cream products for years, and until I own my own, I'm making it here, and I love it.
What percent butterfat ice cream have you got?
It's 12. I personally like 16% butterfat. It's almost impossible to find that any place. A few dairies make it.
12's good, though.
But yes, 12 is. If you make an ice cream and you time it right and you do it properly, you can make a delightful ice cream with 12%.
All right, Don, just stop it right now. I love ice cream.
If I knew where you were, I made a sherbet the other day, which was if you like cranberries, it's a cranberry sherbet. Best sherbet I've ever had, if I must say so. If I knew what you liked and I knew where you were, I'd bring you some ice cream.
Well,
not today, but...
I love my ice cream.
So, I love your show.
Thanks so much for calling, Don.
Good luck, and talk to you sometime later.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll tell you what, maple syrup and ice cream, whoa, man. I do love good ice cream. Oh, I do love good ice cream. You know, for all of our younger listeners, and you go out and pay, what is it, $1.60 or $1.80 for a small scoop of ice cream nowadays? Yes, indeed, we actually did buy 16% butterfat ice cream for a nickel a scoop back in the old days. My wife says she doesn't know anything about 5-cent ice cream and 5-cent Cokes and 5-cent candy bars and all that sort of thing, but I do. She's a lot younger than me, a couple of decades maybe. But anyway, I do remember those days. I know what fun it was for that good ice cream. You know, the evangelicals are starting to get a little crazy on us here, and as we mentioned before, there's a lot of evangelicals, and when you count up how many there are, 75% of them voted for Bush, but at least 25% who didn't. 25% of the evangelicals who decided that their politics was not going to be picked for them by somebody else, that was not going to be influenced by outside influences such as the ministers and Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and Dobson and all those sort of people. So... We do have to, and listen to some of this. You know who Charles Colson is, don't you? I think a lot of you know who Charles Colson. He was the unscrupulous rat during the Watergate investigation, and worked in the White House. He worked for Nixon. Remember what a scoundrel Chuck Colson was? Well, he became a minister. He actually ministered in Columbus, Ohio for a while. I believe my cousin actually went to his church. Anyway, he's out crowing about the election now and says, this was providence. Anybody looking at the 2000 election to have to say it was a miraculous deliverance, and I think people felt it again this year. By allowing Bush to stay in office, Colson said, God is giving us a chance to repent and restore some moral sanity to American life. Is he Looney Tunes or what? Oh, man. it's amazing. Richard Land, a leading Southern Baptist who participates in a weekly strategy call between the White House and evangelical leaders, put it this way. Whoever won, it would have been God's will. But because Bush won, God has clearly shown America his blessings. If Kerry had won, now let's listen to the reasoning here. If Kerry had won, it would have proved God was cursing the United States. The Bible says godly leadership is a sign of God's blessing, and a lack of godly leadership is a sign of God's judgment. I don't see Kerry as a godly leader, this Richard Land says. It's incredible. It really is incredible when you read this sort of thing. It's incredible to me that actually a percentage of the Catholics voted against John Kerry because of his stand of coming out, his correct stand, I might say, by saying that he wanted to keep politics out of his religious life and vice versa. Chuck Colson says again, God is not going to tolerate a nation that thumbs its nose at him. The whole idea of scrubbing all religious influence out of public life and taking down the Ten Commandments and stopping prayer and not allowing people to talk about their faith for fear of offending someone, I don't think God honors that. God's patience runs out. Now, see, here's a man that knows God real well, obviously knows what God is thinking at all times. Most of those evangelicals know what God is thinking all the time. And, call me stupid or crazy, but I always thought God was a little more omnipotent than that, than someone being able to get into God's thinking process. I don't know. I just always thought of myself as a little more mortal than being able to figure out what God... But I've been wrong, obviously, because there are people that that know what God thinks. And, maybe I should start looking at these folks with a little more respect and awe than I do, because if they truly can understand and figure out what God is thinking, then I have certainly missed the boat off someplace, because I have never been boisterous enough, I guess, to say, well, I know what God's thinking, because I don't. Life is a mystery, and it'll remain a mystery to me, and rightly so. Listen, I've been awfully glad you've been with us today. I've enjoyed having your comments and your listenership. It's important to me. I hope you will consider donating to the program at www.theguyjamesshow.com. It's important to us that we get enough donations to stay on the air. You've done it so far, and I know you'll keep on. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
A day at the hospital for the vice president. I'm Joan Bennett. The symptom, shortness of breath, but doctors at George Washington University Hospital ruled out any cardiac causes for Vice President Dick Cheney's breathing problem today. He'd been suffering from a bad cold after a hunting trip and went to the hospital on doctor's advice. ABC's Barbara Britt outside the hospital.
Vice President Dick Cheney spent several hours here at George